following show contains material that may not be suitable for children under the age of 16. The views and opinions are not necessarily accepted nor followed by the Haunted Voices Radio Network. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
You're listening to Airstrike Radio with the two madmen of radio.
Are you ready?
Coming to you live from beautiful downtown Virginia, Minnesota, it's Airstrike Radio with your hosts, Jill Sturgis and Todd Bates.
It is Tuesday night, and that means one thing around these parts. That's right, it is Airstrike Radio. Woo, it's been a long weekend, but thank God we all survived. And guess what? Guess what? Todd Bates is back in the house. That's right, the dynamic duo back together, man. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing awesome, Joel. I am back up to 100%. I mean, I feel absolutely perfect.
Cool. I know I missed you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to jump all over you, but I really did miss you. Yeah, last week we had Brian Leffler. Thank you very much for filling in the co-host chair. But I'm going to tell you what, as much as I like you, Brian, you're not Todd.
I caught up on a lot of rest, Joel, you know, and everything's working out. I'm on the steroids, and I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, you know, all that's working out real good.
We're here to pump you up.
Bob.
That's right, then. My weekend was absolutely, well, can I say this, balls out crazy?
Yes, you just did.
Oh, my God. Well, first, tell us how yours was, because mine's going to probably take the rest of the intro before we bring in our great guest today, Ingrid P. Dean, author of Spirit of the Badge, 60 True Police Stories. Go ahead, man, let her rip.
Yeah, the weekend thing, you know, to come into the Friday night show there, you know, with you, and I just couldn't take the pain anymore, Joel. I couldn't do it. So had the wife run me in to get checked out. They did a CT scan, found out it was my pancreas, not my back. Really? My back at all. It was my pancreas, you know, with the Crohn's disease, it was swelled up, and it attacked my pancreas, swelled it up so bad it was pushing against my spine, which is why I walked like a caveman.
Ah, we finally got the knuckle dragging under control.
Yeah. So I spent the awesome weekend in the hospital Sunday. But, I got a lot of work done in there. I didn't turn the TV on at all. I wrote a few things down, wrote some things in my notebook there for us for our shows and for Monday shows and Friday shows. You know, just got a lot of stuff done. But
Were you writing your memoirs? If so, that must have been kind of short.
Yes, the memoir. We will call them morphine memoirs.
That's right. The drug-induced state memoirs. That's right. We're in the state of, euphoria right now because I'm jacked up on morphine.
Yes. No, but it was great. You know, my wife came to visit there, and she held my hand for 2 hours while I was in and out of consciousness.
Oh, man.
That's dedication.
That is dedication. Mrs. Bates. You know what? If I had a cheering noise, I'd give that to you. But I do have this though for Mrs. Bates. She always has to remember this little phrase, and she'll be fine throughout her whole life.
So I'm telling you, fellas, you're gonna want that cowbell.
Yeah, in lieu of anything better, right there. You're gonna need that cowbell.
Her birthday's coming up. Her birthday's on Super Bowl Sunday, by the way, so we're going to have to do some cowbell.
You're going to have to do some cowbell, I'm telling you. You're going to want it.
Living here in Illinois, Joel, I'm sure I can go out there and find a cow with a cowbell on it, a swipe of thing.
I'm sure you could. you steal a cowbell for her. Look, honey, I got it just for you. You're like a dog bringing a dead bird home, drop it on the porch for her. Look! This stuff has no blood on it, I promise.
Hey, one of the comments about what you said there over there at KelseyLive.com, he missed you, but his aim is improving, so watch
it. It is. It definitely is. You know, I got a new scope. Yeah. You know, Todd, you can run, but you can't hide for very long.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Hide from you.
Anyhow, my weekend
was
nuts, okay? I got a call from a frantic renter of a home.
Mm-hmm.
And she explained some activity in her home. And it sounded really, really fantastic as she was telling me. You know, she's saying that they were chased out of their home one night, things being thrown around, the kitchen being just ripped apart, the house being ripped apart, cabinet doors opening on their own in the kitchen, TV turning on and off, movies being ejected out of the DVD player. While they watch this, mind you, this stuff all happening as they're watching. So I guess what had happened, it got so bad that they called the cops. They left the house screaming, yelling, called 911. The police did show up. They go in there. They look for somebody. They could not find anybody that was, you know, because they saw the house is all ransacked. You know, they're like, oh, we got somebody in here. So get this, though. This is where it really gets crazy. They end up calling a canine unit to come into this home. They let the dog loose. He ran in there, and he came out, Todd, with his tail between his legs, whimpering.
Wow.
And they even went so far, the police department, to go in there and do another search, and they couldn't find anything at all. One thing, I guess, and the police turned, and they told her, well, you might have something in there, but it's definitely not human.
Yeah. If it's something like that that's going to turn a dog away, that's not good. Animals react to that stuff. They can sense it.
Yeah, well, you know, dogs, these police dogs, they are specially trained to, well, bite you. That's what they do. Their life is dedicated to apprehending people.
It's just aggression. That's what they're trained to do, a lot of them.
That's all, you know, even when it comes to that kind of situation, you got someone in the house, they need to get them out. That's what they do. They root the people out. Is what they do. Well, to continue the story, they call me. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking to myself, well, how fantastic is this? I mean, come on. This is like a, you know, Amityville Horror meets Poltergeist, you know, sequel thing going on here. Can't be as bad as what they're telling me, what she is telling me. So I go on scene on Saturday night about 7 p.m. my time, which is Central Time. By mm-hmm. 7 p.m., it's already pretty well dark, so you can get a jump on the investigating. And I got to tell you, man, the place has everything. It's like a fun house, and I use that term very loosely, a fun house, because it's no fun. House of activity. We have everything from doors opening and closing. We have auditory noises that we hear, all of us hear, but we don't catch on tape.
Yeah, I mean, now, I've run into that, too. It's almost like... Well, it kind of relates to how they also use your own vocals.
Sure.
And it sounds like you talking. They manipulate it. And if they don't want to be heard, if they don't want to be seen, they're not going to be heard or seen. You know, they'll find a way around it. They're awesome with manipulating these electronic devices like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, yeah. I mean, you go in there. I just want you, you know, I'm worried about you going in there. I want you to be extremely careful because those things do not mess around.
I mean, I got burned on the hand by something. I got punched in the face by something.
Jeez.
I have no idea what in the name of all that's holy is going on here. It's really upset. It's really a mad. If it's a ghost, it's one of the most powerful ghosts I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's something in there has to. Something in there has to be feeding it for it to manifest like that, to throw a punch like that. Something is setting it off. There's either some kind of static electricity, some kind of humidifier.
Something's feeding this thing. Now, this is the gist of this. Is a good friend of mine works with the Minneapolis St. Paul Police Departments on their missing persons unit as well as homicide, and she also works with them on the in the past she's worked with them, you know, police department stuff like that, and so she is very skilled at going into these situations and kind of, for a lack of a better word, I guess, taking care of them. How she does this, I don't know. But she did what they call a remote reading on the place. you know, she's able to do that. And she explained to me that you have not just one. You have one really nasty one, but you got three others in this home, and two of them do not realize they're dead.
So, you guys, I don't realize they're dead. Yeah, yeah, definitely, one word of advice, when you're doing an EVP session, don't use that word.
Hey, don't say, hey, guess what, you're stone cold dead. You heard it here first.
Beyond lash out. Yeah, a malevolent situation like that is extremely unpredictable. I mean, it's, I mean, going in there alone is suicide. Going in there with two people is not good either. You at least need a group of four or five. You know, there's strength in numbers.
Yeah.
And you're not as weak when you have that many numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a buddy of mine, we were standing outside talking about the case. We're outside the house and there's a screen door. It's a newer screen door, right? And it opened and closed three times in succession as if there are people leaving the home.
Man.
Three times in a row. Perfectly, just like someone's leaving. And there was no wind out. There was no nothing. It was still as can be. Beautiful night out. Stars were out. No wind. Full moon. I have no explanation why that door, and it was latched. You could hear every time it would close and open, you could hear that latch engaging.
It wouldn't be a pressure situation. It wouldn't be anything
no,
like
no,
that.
No, it's an older home with kind of rickety windows. You know, the windows need to be replaced. Yeah, and
it'd take a pretty good-sized draft to blow a door.
It would. But, I mean, as far as vacuum goes, nobody was they're all sitting in the living room when this happened, the other folks. Nobody was rooting around. In fact, I got on the walkie-talkie to double-check that. You know,
that's what I'd do. I'd bait the place up. You know, I'd sit there. You know, I got the pull fireworks, little pull things there. You time on the doorknobs, little areas, yeah. And if something sets them off, they pop. You know, you can just set little tiny traps in different places. You know, baby powder. You know, works great. I've used that quite often. I use it for both. You know, to try and capture some kind of footprint or imprint, as well as to guarantee that your equipment is secure. Like if you have a stationary recording sitting there and you put baby powder around it, you're going to know if somebody's been around there tampering with your evidence. You know?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, absolutely. And on this location is another apartment above a garage. And it's just as active. What it's doing is jumping from place to place is what it's doing. And so we were getting ready to go to this garage apartment. It actually locked the door on us to the point to where we had to, where the renter had to call a locksmith to come drill it out.
Wow.
They didn't want us in there.
Well, some won't, you know, and you're going out there this Friday, right?
Yeah, Friday and Saturday. I got both days covered. A good friend of mine, like I said, is coming up from Minneapolis-St. Paul area. She is going to go ahead and do a full psychic sweep of the place, I guess, for lack of a better term. Get in there, see what's going on, give us more information what we're dealing with, and if it indeed does become something I can't handle, I'm going to go ahead and refer it out to someone that can.
Good. I respect you for that. A good researcher is going to do that every time. Every time. There's Satan comes first. No need for a hero. Nothing like that. That's good, sound, you know, judgment.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I've never seen, here's the thing. I mean, I left the following day at 10:30 in the morning from this investigation. Activity was still as strong then as it is at 10:30, at 7 p.m. as it is at 10:30 p.m. or a.m.
Right.
I mean, it's still just hopping all night. And every time you could tell when it kind of start losing a little bit of its charge, there's some rickety steps that lead to the basement. You could hear those steps. It would run down those steps. You could just hear them. Everybody heard them in the house.
And it's just, that's wicked. And the good news, you're going out there Friday.
Yeah.
Is that main show? Of course, we're interviewing Annette Martin Friday night. But after that, tell them what we're doing after that. The good news we're doing after that.
We're going to do a little live remote from this location. That's right. We are going to do some live EVP via cell phone right there at this extremely crazy fun house.
It is going to be awesome.
It's going to be fun. I'm hoping that maybe we can get some stuff to come right over the cell phone.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I told you before, when I did it with Rob DeShane there from W Paranormal, He was out there at Gettysburg, and it came through, and everyone heard. It was amazing. Everyone heard the Ashley EVP come through there. It was from a soldier, and, you know, it's just plain as day. Plain as day. Really amazing. So it can happen.
Yeah, it can happen. I figure what we'll do is I'll periodically call in, mm-hmm. go ahead, and then tell you what's going on. I was, you know, maybe we can even speak with Annette as well. You know, I'll be part of the show as much as I can be. Here and there, pop in, pop out kind of thing going on. And
Annette could very possibly throw you some great advice there, too. She's a great remote viewer. She may see a few things going on in there, you know.
That would be killer. That would be killer to get some double validation, because you can never have too much validation. Because ideally what would be great is the psychic I have coming up and plus Annette picking up on the same things.
Mm-hmm.
That would really cement it in my mind.
Yeah, it really would. They'd both validate each other. It'd be perfect. It's the perfect combination. In a situation like that where it is malevolent, you need all the help you can get. Because you're fighting something you can't see. You cannot see it at all.
You know, it shocked me enough when I got a burn on my hand, and I still have it. I even took pictures of it and sent it to you.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it shocked me even more when I actually got punched directly in the face to the point where I had a bloody lip.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a lot of energy in there. Something is feeding it. Something in there is feeding that entity, and there's... You know, I'm sure there's more than one of them, and of course he's the dominant, and taking theirs as well. It's just a bad situation.
Is it a bit like a vampire, energy vampire on them? He'll just kind of
and that's why the psychics really need to be careful, especially the one coming in there. They're actually called psychic vampires, you know, things like that. They prey on the mind. The human brain produces so much electricity, it's unreal, and they feed off of it.
Well, it's kind of funny, Todd. I actually went into, paranormal retirement, man. I hung it up. I was done.
The rest is going to fly off now.
Yeah, I was done. I'm like, well, you know, I'm kind of done. Some of the drama's gotten to me. You know, I'm not really happy with the, holy crap, man, what a case to come out of retirement on.
Well, it's going to break you in. It's like riding a bike. You're going to learn fast.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, I don't forget, but I'm definitely going to be using the baby powder on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, you almost have to go old school with this because it is very smart.
You do, and that's exactly what you want to do. That's the approach you want to take in something like that. You want to go old school as natural as you possibly can. We're talking flashlight, notebook, nothing high tech. Nothing like that. Don't give it anything to feed off of or any energy source whatsoever. Just your, you know, a basic digital camera, a digital or analog recorder, none of that other junk.
Well,
in there loose.
On this investigation, Todd, I've gone full analog everything.
Good.
That's
I highly recommend that.
Because if I do get the holy grail, as it were, you know as well as I do, that negative speaks volumes.
Yes, does.
You know, so you can say, yes, it is really in the picture. I did not manipulate this. Look at the negative. Negatives are like cement, man. Once it's there, it's there.
In a situation like that, I would highly recommend analog. I don't know if you have them in your area, you can check. Go see if you can get high bias tapes.
Yeah, that's what I'm running. That's what I'm running. Yep.
Okay, yes, you can grab those because that's your CD. That's the best thing to record. And try stationary because usually when they're malevolent like that, they're not going to talk or do anything.
No, that's the odd part. I mean, we're hearing crashing and banging and yelling and screaming. We even hear a freaking cat meowing. Go ahead, man.
Another term for that, they call that phantom furniture. That's an old school term for that. That's when they're coming in from their dimension into ours. These different noises, like, you know, it sounds like they're moving, you know, furniture.
Yeah.
Stairs, and they call it phantom furniture when they're coming from their dimension to ours. So, you know,
it's crazy, man. And more to come. Like I said, Friday, I'll be on location. I'll be on the air. I'll also give you my cell phone number, Todd, so you can call me once in a while to check in on me, make sure I'm still breathing.
I'll be doing that.
You know, make sure everything's still kosher. So you'll have both, and definitely, feel free if you see. One thing that people don't know is Todd and I, we actually have, well, you can laugh at us if you want to, we kind of have a bit of a psychic connection.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I'm in distress, I know it. Like, when Todd is in the hospital, I know, as weird as this sounds to a lot of our listeners, I could really feel his distress.
Yeah, that is, it is wild, and we've been told that.
Yeah, we've had several psychics tell us that.
I'm not embarrassed at all by
no.
it, because everybody out there has an equal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what are the odds?
Yeah, we're actually doing radio with him, but on that note, man, we really got to get out of here, get Ingrid. We could talk about this all night, which we probably will at some point when this is all said and done. But let's get out of here, go get Ingrid Dean. Man, it's going to be a rocking show. You guys stick around. We'll be right back after this.
The imagination of author Stephen Wren, radio producer for Haunted Voices Radio, and the director of Tennessee Paranormal, a new fiction series based on pirates and the paranormal, Jeremiah Balloon and the Amulet of the Siren. According to a recent review by ParanormalNews.com, there are misty visitors, ghost pirates, orbs of light, astral projection, secret societies, spiritualistic entities, missions of the human soul, which make it a truly enjoyable read. Now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million, Tower Books, and more. Or visit Jeremiah on the web at jeremiahbloom.com or the author, Stephen Wren, at stephenwren.com. Jeremiah Balloon and the Amulet of Osiris.
Looking for professional meters for your next investigation? Look no further than Alpha Lab Scientific Instruments, makers of AC and DC milligauss meters, earth magnetometers, and the widely used Tri-Field Natural EM meter. This meter actually detects changes in extremely weak static electric and magnetic fields, and signals with both a tone and movement of a needle-type gauge if either the electric or magnetic field changes from previous levels. A must-have for any paranormal researcher. For all your field meter needs, visit Alpha Lab Scientific Instruments at trifield.com. T-R-I-Field.com.
You're listening to Airstrike Radio Online with your hosts, Joel Sturgis and Todd Bates. Airstrike Radio is your home for alternative talk radio, the show for everything from pop culture to politics and all things in between. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here at airstrikeonline.com.
Airstrike Radio right back at you. That's right. We are the thing that infects the airwaves. That's right. Isn't that right, Todd? We're having a great night tonight.
We are the H1N1 radio.
That's right. You cannot get rid of us. Well, you can try to inoculate, but we'll find a way into your eardrum. That's right. There's no way around us. But tonight we have a killer guest or multiple guests coming on tonight. First, I'd like to introduce Ingrid P. Dean. Ingrid P. Dean is more than just your average, well, police officer. Even though she spent 20 years in Michigan State Police, she has been able to see both sides of the fence. Not only has she been a police officer, but she's heard some of these, well, I don't want to call them odd, these absolutely wonderful tales of fellow police officers, things that happen on the job. She's written the absolutely incredible book, Spirit of the Badge, 60 True Police Stories. Ingrid, it's always an honor.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
Good morning. Been a long time.
Yes.
Too long.
Yes.
It has been the anticipation of people when I tell them about the show today. It has been just absolutely outstanding.
Crazy.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, Ingrid, what have you been doing to yourself since we last talked?
I've been working. Lots of great cases coming into the state police post in Traverse City, and mostly detective field work, but keeping busy. And likewise with the book, being able to speak in public and on great radio stations like yours. So it's been busy but fun.
Right. Well, the book is just outstanding. It's an awesome book. I love the stories in there.
Well, thank you.
This one you just read over and over again. Yeah, I showed it to everybody there, KelseyLive.com on the webcam. They got it sucked. They saw the front cover of it. So there you go. Go buy it, folks. Trust me.
That's right. Wow. You will not forget that book. I still read it. I've read the book now probably 3 or 4 different times.
Yeah, it's like I refer to it as a classic movie. You know, one of those that you watch and you watch over and over, like a Clash of the Titans kind of thing. That you're just going to watch over and over. You just read it. Because you find something new in it every time. So you guys go check it out, spiritofthebadge.com.
That's right, and you can pick that book up, I'm sure, at Barnes & Noble, all of your greatest, well, probably your local bookstore as well.
And Amazon.com.
That's right.
It's always a great source as well.
It is. That is a great source. Todd, I keep watching. You know what? We're getting used to each other again, Ingrid. Todd was actually out of action there for a week, right, Todd?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Good or bad?
Yeah, it was bad.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the police actually raided his house and found him with 35,000 pounds of marijuana.
Yes.
No way. You're lying.
It wasn't quite the.
I'm a polygraph examiner, you know.
It was only 24,000. He's exaggerating a little bit.
I am a little bit, you know. No.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she could tell if we're lying or not, Joel.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. She'll pick that right up.
This is going to be fun.
But, you know, we you know, I don't quite know what to say here, because some of these stories, we talked earlier in the day, and I'd like to hammer home to everybody that these, when the police officers do call, many of them, it may get emotional. Many of them, they're coming to us with hat in hand to tell their story. And so we would definitely want to, at the top of the show, tell people to respect these officers while they're in air. Should they decide that they want to take calls, we're not going to force any of these officers to take phone calls. If they tell us, I'd rather not take calls, we will definitely let you guys know as well that, you know, not they do not feel like taking calls. But that being said, I know we have a great crowd. We have a very respectful crowd, but you never, you know, it's a touchy subject, especially.
Well, what's different about this book is that many of the stories suggest that some things are not what they appear to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they show officers using very special skills and intuitive decision making,
mm-hmm.
You know, in conjunction with their experience and their training. But it also shows a glimpse of the police heart as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes intuition, self-awareness, empathy, you know, awareness to the unknown, you know, angels and ghosts and synchronicity, you know, areas that the police rarely talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I think the police heart is not given the respect and the admiration that it deserves.
I agree with
that.
We
really are human beings, and there's mm-hmm. some incredible, exceptional human experiences that we have. And this is what the book is all about, Spirit of the Badge.
Sure, even Todd here, he was actually in corrections for a long time.
Oh.
So he kind of, he's been part of that brotherhood to a certain extent, haven't you, Todd?
Yeah, and still am. It's one of those things you don't leave behind. Yeah, I worked corrections 6 years in a supermax, and it's, you know, you form a brotherhood in there, and because you have to depend on each other. You have no choice. It's a team effort, and it never dies. I still talk to a lot of the officers out there, you know, and it's just like you said, they don't get the respect either, and you know it's. It's sad. You guys are out there protecting, serving, doing a lot of this dirty work that we couldn't even possibly imagine, and people don't know what goes on. You know, when you're out there on the beat, doing your beat, even in corrections, they don't know what goes on behind those walls and the stress everybody goes through. I mean, it's something you won't know until you sit in their shoes, and usually that's their attitude.
You know, yeah, I appreciate that and what you're saying, and you would probably agree and know that once you've been in the business for a few years, it's hard to turn the light switch off, too.
Right.
It's like you become aware of your surroundings and everything that goes on around you. It's a certain awareness that gets elevated in the work.
It does.
Has a lot to do with the stress and helping people and staying alive.
You know, that's, you know, you mentioned that. I always used to sit at the corner of the booth. I'd never sit where my back was exposed. I wouldn't let anybody follow me. I would always let them pass in front. You'd always,
right.
You know, you just always, and it's just instinct. You know, you learn how.
And you probably still do that, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
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 Yeah. You know, why don't you go ahead and give us a rundown? Do you have, I know there's a certain order they're going to be calling these police officers, and it's the same order that you gave us in the email. And, you know, why don't you go ahead and kind of give us a little preview of which stories are going to be covered tonight?
Sure. Stephen Sokol will be our first guest, and he wrote a story called An Angel Shield. And that is about several years ago, he went on patrol with a rather inexperienced partner. It was in Detroit, and he works for Detroit Police Department on the bomb squad.
Ooh.
And he happened to be patrolling, and he saw a car go through a red light, and there were bystanders around saying, you know, gosh, aren't you going to go after that guy? Well, they did, and he ended up stopping the car, and the people jumped out and started firing an Uzi at his patrol car. And what's so interesting about the story, and I'll let him explain it in more detail, you know, when we talk to him, but something very ethereal occurred, like a big shield that he describes of light surrounded the car, and all of these bullets that were coming at him basically ricocheted in different directions and never hit him when he stepped out of his patrol car. So it's quite an extraordinary story. He genuinely feels that it was divine guidance, something divine that protected him. And his partner, unfortunately, had run away. Oh. So he was, like, by himself. So that's the first guest. And then our second guest is Herman Brown. He works for the Michigan State Police as a trooper in on road patrol and investigation. And he's going to tell a story about how he got off of his shift and was very tired after a long day or midnight shift, I should say. And on his way home, he begins falling asleep at the wheel. And he has something happen that's quite divine and extraordinary that he's going to share. And then our third person is a very special guest, and he wrote a story called The Amazing Shot. And this is a story about an ES team member. He was on the emergency support team for the Michigan State Police. And he's going to talk about a situation where he had to take a shot. And it was a very stressful circumstance, and some divine interaction occurred as well. And whatever you want to call it, divine guidance or responding to your gut instinct or what the universe is telling you, you could use so many words to try to describe it, mm-hmm. but in effect, it's just miraculous. That's the best word I can think of for all three of the stories.
Yeah, and what's going to help with them as well is they are police officers, and that just adds more credibility to their story, to their situation, you know, because they're not going to make this stuff up.
And that's what's so extraordinary mm-hmm. about it. Is because police officers don't lie about this.
No.
They have a you know, an element of reliability and credibility that they have to carry with them as a police officer wearing the badge.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
They testify in court and all of those things, and they're not going to put their reputation on the line by lying about stuff like this. So I think that is what makes it so extraordinary when they talk about these more ethereal, abstract things that have occurred in their career.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, did any of these officers feel that they kind of are, well, a little afraid to put it out there in fear of ridicule?
Yeah, I mean, they certainly are very grounded, conservative-like people. I mean, that's the nature of our job. So when you start talking about these very exceptional experiences, they're showing our more transpersonal, open-minded mm-hmm. Perspective. Mm-hmm. And this is the side of police officers that's rarely depicted on television. You never see officers talking about angels or
no.
ghosts or, you know. So that's what makes this book different.
They do have a show out now, though, Ingrid. It's called Paranormal Cops on A&E. It's pretty
What's
good.
What's it called?
Paranormal Cops. They're all police officers.
Really?
Really. Really. And I've got to admit, out of all the shows that I've seen, I don't normally watch it. I saw a little bit of that, and it's done really tastefully, really, really professional.
Oh, good.
They're all,
I have
all,
not seen it yet, Todd. I'm going to have to tune into that bad boy.
You need to, Joel. It's great.
Yeah.
It's one of the better ones I've seen.
Now, you have a question.
What,
go ahead.
What channel was that on again?
It's on A&E.
Very good.
On A&E.
Excellent.
You have a question.
We got one of the listeners got a question here for you.
Sure.
Viewer 28 here is saying, hi, Ingrid. I live in a suburb of Detroit. Why would someone want a job that's so stressful? What's it like to wake up in the morning knowing what you're facing?
Gosh, you know, it's hard to speak for every police officer, but I can speak for myself and why I got into the job. And it really wasn't to be stressed out every day. You know, my focus was to be of help, to be of service to the public. And I truly feel that that is what most officers get into police work for, regardless of where they work and whether they're conscious or not conscious about the real reason they join police work. I think it's because they want to be of service. They want to help.
Wonderfully said, because you know what? A lot of us, you know, like if you see in the rearview mirror pulling you over to give a traffic ticket, at that moment you're like, I tell you what, but yeah, I'll tell you what, that officer in the next breath will lay his life down the line for you.
That's right.
You know, so and that's the thing.
That's right. You know, people get caught up in the idea that we're just these kind of low-educated, heavy-handed people that have no sense of humor, you know, and that all we want to do is give tickets, and that is not true. And I'm speaking from my 20 years in law enforcement that we really want to assist. We really want to help people more than anything.
Yeah.
And make a difference in the world.
A lot of them have that stereotype mentality where, you know, they want to do it just for ego, for kicks, adrenaline rush, and they're just for the power trip.
Well, you know, you always get a couple of those people. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but it would be a lie if I said we were all perfect and you know, all had this, you know, desire to help, you know, everybody. There's always a couple people in every profession that are bad eggs.
Sure, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care whether you're in a knitting circle, bowling league, or even in the military. You're gonna you're gonna run into people right. that are just bad apples, and that's just no two ways about it. But Ingrid, we're gonna run to break here, and when we come back, we're gonna have the first officer come on. And we're going to have him tell a story. And how we're going to run this, just so you know and so the listeners know, we're going to let him tell a story in its entirety. If he feels like he wants to open up phone lines, we will do so. And then when he is done and he said his piece, we're going to go to break. After every break, you're going to have a new police officer waiting in the wings to be able to tell their tale.
Great.
And so with no further ado, we're going to get to it right now. And I can't wait, man. We're going to run the break really fast. When we come back, man, we are definitely going to be having some great stuff rolling here. Spirit of the Badge, go check it out, spiritofthebadge.com. Ingrid Dean, you absolutely rock. You're a beautiful person. We'll be right back after this.
Since 1948, Fate magazine has delivered a one-of-a-kind reading experience. Covering everything from psychics, UFOs, paranormal investigations, and more. For more information, visit FateMag.com or call 1-800-728-2730. That's 1-800-728-2730. Fate magazine, true reports of the strange and unknown.
Hello, and welcome to the Burger Barn.
No, yeah, I still understand you. Let's try it again.
Okay. Hello, welcome to the Burger Barn.
Much better.
This now, man is learning how to become a professional intercom announcer. Yes, there are hundreds of immediate openings for annoying and inarticulate people just like you. And after just 6 short weeks at the School of Intercom Announcing, you too will be ready to frustrate thousands. We'll teach you how to blow into a microphone, how to obscure key words in important announcements.
This is the final boarding call for singing, Miles Ford, Butterflying, and Google.
With your PA degree from SIA, you'll be on your way to low-paying jobs in discount stores, malls, airports, even restaurants.
Mr. Fascinating Link, Party of four, please.
The School of Intercom Announcing. Just dial 1-800-245-6363 today.
Ready for some rollicking adventure? In Scotty Roberts' book, The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, join Irish Rabbit, Tam O'Hare, and his young squirrel squire, Horatio McNutt, as they journey through Scotland of the mid-1500s seeking a small child who's been stolen by the fairy folk. Crafty raccoon pirates, conniving noble wolves, conflicted royal foxes and self-serving religious badgers all stand in the way as their quest brings them headlong into high seas action and supernatural intrigue. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare is in bookstores everywhere and at barnesandnoble.com. This hardcover, lushly illustrated chapter book is the first book in the Tam O'Hare series. But hang on to your sabers. Book 2, Tam O'Hare and the Banshee of Ballyglenmorrow, is coming later this year. So swash your buckle and prepare yourself for a historically rollicking, swaggeringly supernatural adventure. Visit tamohare.com to learn more. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
What do you guys think of Airstrike Radio?
It's only one I listen to.
I just like everything about it. It's just really funny because, I mean, I like to stay up with current events, but at the same time, I also like to laugh, so it's the best of both worlds.
Simple fact of the matter, they're, for one, down home, they like to go about doing community stuff, and then, of course, just the wildness that they have in there.
Definitely turned on.
Basically, they just do and say whatever they want.
They always are coming up with new stuff, new twists.
Thank you for your feedback. Remember to keep listening right here on Airstrike Radio Online as well as HVRNC.com. That's the Haunted Voices Radio Network. And we are right back at you. That's right, Airstrike Radio. It is Tuesday night. We're having a great time. We have Ingrid P. Dean in the house, as well as my good friend and partner in crime. I say that in front of cops right now, huh, Brian? I almost said Brian. Oh, my gosh, Todd. Say that in front of cops there, Todd. I know I am
It's the big one.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just having Freudian slips all night tonight. I want to thank Mr. Brian Leffler again for stepping in the co-host chair last week while Todd was, in the hospital, quite honestly. And we have, just an awesome night in front of us. We have, who's on tap now, Todd? You're the keeper of the list.
Who's on tap? We have got Stephen Sokol. And Isaiah's got a story. And Angel's Shield. And he is on the Detroit Police Department's bomb squad.
Wow. Wow. Can you say grapefruits?
Can you say run?
Nerves of steel, my friend. It's an honor and my privilege to meet you.
Hey, thank you for having me on your show tonight. I appreciate that.
Oh, man, it is 100% our honor.
Cool. I still have 10 fingers and 10 toes, so I'm doing something right.
That is what matters at the end of the day, is you are still have all your digits. You're still able to talk with us. And if you survived the story that I read and everyone else has read in the book, how did it all go down?
You know what? I did survive. Obviously, I've been truly blessed. I've had a great career, 24 years. What happened was 1992, I was assigned to a patrol unit in the 12th precinct in the city of Detroit, and it was a very busy precinct. For whatever reason, we had a shift lieutenant that night that he had it out for me, and I had a regular scout car partner, but he decided he wanted to split us up. So he assigned me to work with a female officer from the front desk who was really a clerk. She didn't have a lot of experience, but no problem. I can work with anyone. So we began our shift, and we were answering run after run. It was fairly busy. And probably about halfway through the shift, it finally started to slow down. We started to get hungry, and I said, hey, let's go get a bite to eat. So we were north on a street called Wyoming and came to a red light. There was a car in front of us occupied by three men. They were stopped at the light right in front of us, and all of a sudden the light turned. The light was still red, but they went through it. So I thought initially that the light had been stuck. And as I looked up, the light turned green. And, of course, all the cars around me were looking at me like, well, you're the police. What are you going to do about it, you know? So I told her, well, hey, look, let's just pull these guys over and give them a warning. We weren't even going to write them a ticket. Mm-hmm. So I hit the lights, and I illuminated the inside of their car with my spotlight. And these guys were not stopping. It wasn't a high-speed chase. They were only creeping forward like 5 miles an hour, but they refused to stop. And as I was looking inside their car, I could see an intense argument among these three men. They were screaming at each other. So they had turned down the first side street, and I had told the dispatcher, I says, hey, we're following 4 North Lincoln 661, refusing to stop. So then they turned north on a second side street. I think it was Kentucky was the name of it. Anyway, at this time, they stopped. Now it's dark out. Obviously, the whole thing didn't feel right, so I stopped further back than I normally would have on a traffic stop. Mm-hmm. Well, as I went to step out of the car, immediately as I stepped out from the driver's side, the right front passenger of the suspect vehicle leaned out with what I believe was a 9mm Intratec Uzi-type weapon and immediately opened fire. So it happened so fast that he got at least 3 shots off before I even realized I was under fire. So I could see the flashes, I heard the gunshots, and then I realized, okay, I'm under fire. So if I could do this again, I probably would have ran to the back of the scout car for cover, but no, maybe being young and inexperienced myself, I decided to run back into the car, inside the scout car. I grabbed the radio, and I'm shouting to the dispatcher, 1211, priority officer in trouble, officer under fire. And I also hit our little button on the computers, which is an emergency locator button, so it transmits that you're in trouble. So I hit that button, and I was calling for backup. And I remember being crouched down in the seat, the gunman is firing, and I could see the bullets tearing through the hood of my car on an angle across the driver's side door, through the driver's side door, and I could see the metal peeling back, which prevented my escape. So I've got a computer on the right. The bullets are tearing through the hood and coming across my driver's side door. So I'm a right-handed shooter. I immediately thought, well, let me get my gun out of my holster, put it in my left hand, and I'm going to try and squeeze off some rounds to try and get this guy off of me. So as I did that, I put the gun in my left hand, and I was just about to fire. The gunman fires a perfect shot at face level, probably right at my mouth, where it would have been. And the windshield exploded, and I could see the glass shatter. I could see the hole, and I felt the glass on my face and my shirt. And I just thought to myself, there's just no way that you did not get hit. I didn't feel any pain, but I thought, yeah, I must have gotten hit. And everything went in slow motion, and I remember looking at my shirt, actually looking for a hole, because I just knew I'd been hit. Well, it turned out I wasn't, and that the windshield had absorbed that strike from the bullet.
Good.
But I knew it wasn't.
Oh, my gosh.
I knew it wasn't going to take another. Well, I knew that windshield was not going to take another hit. And yeah. I began to realize really quick that I was in a bad situation and I might not be coming out of it. So at that moment, what happened was the car, my scout car, filled with a blinding light. It was a blinding golden light. I had never seen anything like it. And in my mind, I was questioning myself, am I really seeing this? And of course, this is happening in seconds. Everything's happening fast. The gunman's shooting, and things are happening fast. But the car fills with this golden light, and over my left shoulder, I heard a voice. It sounded like a male voice, a very calm voice. And it said, you will not be harmed, or you're going to come out of this fine, something to that effect. And then in that instant, the car went black, and that light reformed outside of the driver's side door of my scout car, where the bullets were coming across. I don't know how to describe it, but when that happened, I actually saw what appeared to me to be a shield, a golden shield of light.
Mm.
And my entire body, I felt I don't know how to describe it, but I literally felt totally protected. Like, at that moment, I was untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just in my mind, but I felt totally protected, and that was my moment. And I stepped out of the car and pointed my gun at the suspect vehicle and emptied everything I had at their car behind that shield. And then, like I said, it's all happening in seconds,
mm-hmm.
but that scared the driver of the suspect vehicle. He floored the car, and they fled northbound. The light that I had seen vanished.
Mm-hmm.
My gun was locked open, indicating that it was empty. And as I began to reload, I called again on the dispatcher, and I said, hey, the car's northbound. There happened to be a police helicopter in the air that continued the pursuit. And I looked over at my partner's side of the vehicle, because I wasn't paying attention to her side mm-hmm. as this is all happening. Well, I looked over, and I seen her car door open and her hat was lying in the street.
Oh, boy.
And my heart sank, and I thought, man, she must have got hit. So I ran over there to look for her, and I was expecting to see her on the ground, and, you know, shot, and I could not find her. And I'm calling her name, and finally I tell the dispatcher I can't find my partner. Well, all the backup units had started to arrive, and in the back of one of the responding backup units, I see my partner. Now, I'm not putting two and two together, because obviously what happened is, you know, pretty intense. But it turned out that after the shooting started, she immediately left me. She abandoned me, and she ran. So they found her hiding behind a building about a block away. And, you know, I never knew that, because everything was happening so fast. But it turned out that the police helicopter pursued the vehicle. The driver, the rear passenger in the vehicle, and the shooter's weapon were all caught that night. The shooter got away thanks to some fantastic detective work. They did track him down within, I'd say, 2 days, and got an arrest, and we went to court, and subsequently we have a conviction for assault with intent to commit murder on a police officer.
Wow.
Now, in court, I had told you I saw this argument among mm-hmm. the men in the car. Well, what happened was, when I went to pull them over, the shooter told the driver, he said, look, I'm going to kill him, we'll get this over with, because I'm not going back to prison. Apparently he had just gotten out of prison. He said, so look, I'm going to kill him, we'll get this over with. Well, the driver was afraid, because he told the shooter, well, if you shoot at him, he's going to shoot at us, and I don't want to get hit. So that's what the argument was about. Mm-hmm. But it turned out the driver and the shooter went to prison, and the person in the back of the vehicle was let go because they couldn't bring any charges. He was just there. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. And, you know, I can't tell your callers what to believe as far as religion or anything
sure.
like that, but, you know, my faith is pretty strong. And for me, that was my second chance from above. That was a divine intervention which allowed me to come home to my kids. And so grateful for that second chance.
That I don't want to. I'm even a little bit choked up because I was actually in the military, and so I totally understand
awesome.
When you are
you
under,
your service.
Under a high. Oh, not a problem. Thank you for yours. Absolutely. When you're under a high pressure situation and you're under fire, what is seconds becomes really when you're in that firefight. You're living in that moment, is what you are. You're in that moment. You're,
right.
Your whole life is that moment. And that moment becomes, seems, it might be seconds, but in our minds, while you're going, while this is happening, it becomes hours.
Right. It seems like forever, but it's actually just a few seconds.
Yeah.
But it
does. Time stands still.
It just really, everything slows down. And did you find that your training really kicked in then?
Oh, immediately, definitely. I had sight alignment, trigger control. I knew exactly where my magazines were. I mean, the minute my gun locked open, I already knew mm-hmm. what the deal was. And I, you know, just without even thinking, released the magazine and immediately popped another one. And
mm-hmm. That's great. I mean, that goes to show.
Yep.
That goes to show that at the academy, they train you guys very, very, very well. And it's almost,
yeah.
it's in your subconscious. I mean, it's... it's something.
Yeah, you don't even think about it. It's just, you just do it. You know.
That's,
well, and as far as like a woman partner, you've had some really good ones too, right?
Oh, you know, that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, in no way, shape, or form am I discrediting any female officers. Right after that incident happened, I had a female Scout Cop partner for about 5 years, and she was tough as nails. You know, we had a great relationship. We worked well together, and you know, she never left my side. So this is just a one-time isolated incident, and by no means am I discrediting any female officers. It just so happened that the person that, you know, that I worked with that night was a female, but I'm honored to work with anyone who put that badge on and put their life on the line for somebody else. You know, it's an honor to work in this profession.
And
well, every time you tell that story, it just amazes me.
I have goosebumps when he was telling that story. When I was reading the story in Ingrid's awesome book, and I want everybody to run out and buy this book. It's Spirit of the Badge.
It's a must.
It's a must. I mean, it's one of those things. It's one of those classics that you're gonna. Very few books that I keep on my desk, and that's one of them that I keep handy. A lot of them I'll kind of read it once, kind of toss to the wayside. But this one, I number one, Ingrid. It's funny because the first time I met Ingrid, so to speak, over the telephone, she says, "I wrote this book." Really, for guys, geared for a male reader.
Well, you know, our field is pretty patriarchal, and you know, 80 to 85% of us are male. And I have learned in my last 20 years that most men like shorter stories. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't like the long, dragged out, overly dramatic, melodramatic stuff. They like to kind of get to the point. But I think they enjoy the emotional, evoking nature of these stories as well, mm-hmm. just like mm-hmm. women would. But I present it in a way that, you know, they'll enjoy it better.
Now, when you were engulfed in this light, did you notice maybe, I know it's a high-stress situation, high intensity, did you notice maybe... Was there any type of heat increase or anything different that you felt outside your body?
I didn't notice a heat increase. It seemed to start from the roof of the car, from above me. And, I mean, I could be wrong, but that's just what I perceived it. And it's like instantly came from above my head and permeated the car. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice any heat increase. But after I had heard the voice, I felt a total feeling of protection. I don't know how to describe it, but I totally almost felt invincible at that point, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so.
Wow. Wow.
I know I'm not, but I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It was a total feeling of protection.
Yeah. Yeah. And you to this day are still on the police force, aren't you?
I am. This is year 24 for me, and I'm actually near the end. I'm thinking of retiring within a year and calling it quits. But I've had a great, great career. I've been a police pilot, a bomb technician, and, you know, of course, I work patrol as well.
24 years, and you still have all your fingers and toes. Congrats.
That's an accomplishment right there. Right.
Yeah, I've had a great career, and I've been honored to work with a lot of great people.
Mm-hmm. And how did I guess before we kind of move on, because we're coming up on a break here in a little bit, how did you meet Ingrid?
You know, it was funny. I was a police pilot, and I flew side by side with one of the Michigan State police pilots, and he happened to have a flyer from Ingrid, and he said, "Hey, I know a state trooper who's writing a book, and her book is going to focus on." You know, police stories with possible divine intervention and things like that. He said, "Do you know anyone that might have one of these stories?" And it was just ironic. And I says, "Yeah, I know somebody. You know, that would be me." So,
you don't have to look any further, Ingrid.
I said, "Yeah, I know somebody that might have a story." So, and I had never really talked about it until, you know, I met Ingrid and realized there were other people with similar stories. I just kind of kept it to myself. Of course, I shared it with my family. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. And then I wrote Ingrid and I emailed her and sent her a brief summary of what had happened to me, and she was interested, and that's kind of how we met.
Now, Did you ever at any time feel a bit of a stigma to tell the story?
You know, kind of. I mean, you know, it's not something that cops would, I guess, feel comfortable telling and going around to other cops. And, you know, everybody wants to feel the macho and don't talk about it. But, you know, once I realized that I wasn't alone and I guess there were other people with similar stories, you know, then I felt more relaxed about it.
Yeah. Now, has it changed your outlook on... on maybe, I guess, for a lack of a better term at the moment, the paranormal?
You know, I always attributed it to, I guess, my faith and protection from above. So I had always believed in protection and angels and things like that, if you will. So it really didn't, I guess, change my perception of it. I just... it just confirmed even more for me, I guess, my faith.
Yeah,
is what it did.
Yeah, kind of, you know, and I think, you know, just thinking about what you've told us, I really do believe that your faith played a huge role in this.
Yeah, I'll agree with that as well. Definitely.
Yeah.
And you know, and someone was looking out for you, and thank God they were, because you have been absolutely well. You've given us your life, really. You've 24 years of your life you've given to really protect all of us.
Absolutely.
And we want to thank you. We want to definitely make that known that we respect you, and more importantly, we 100% believe you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate that.
Not a problem. Oh,
it's our pleasure. Our pleasure. Yeah, we're behind you 100%. 100%.
Great.
Absolutely. We're gonna go ahead. We're going to run to break, and when we come back, we're going to have yet another story, and I want to thank you so much for coming on and telling that tale. I know it's a bit hard coming on live radio to tell that story, and I think that you did a great thing, a really brave thing.
You did great.
Thank you so much, Steve. That's, you know, if I haven't thanked you before, I'll thank you over and over again. But your story is really quite miraculous.
It was great meeting you, Steve. And thank you very much. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
On that note, we're going to go off to break. When we come back, we're going to have yet another great story. These brave men and women coming on and telling us their great stories of the line of duty. And that being said, we'll be right back after this.
From the imagination of author Stephen Wren, radio producer for Haunted Voices Radio, and the director of Tennessee Paranormal, a new fiction series based on pirates and the paranormal, Jeremiah Balloon and the Amulet of Osiris. According to a recent review by ParanormalNews.com, there are misty visitors, ghost pirates, orbs of light, astral projection, secret societies, spiritualistic entities, missions of the human soul, which make it a truly enjoyable read. Now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million, Tower Books, and more. Or visit Jeremiah on the web at jeremiahbloom.com or the author, Stephen Wren, at stephenwren.com. Jeremiah Balloon and the Amulet of Osiris.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady. Knowing he could spend the rest of his life locked up, the man accused of trying to blow up a Detroit-bound plane on Christmas Day has started talking. FBI Director Robert Mueller confirming it to California Senator Dianne Feinstein during a Capitol Hill intelligence hearing.
It is also my understanding that Mr. Abdulmutallab has provided valuable information. Is that correct?
Yes.
Abdul-Muttalib said to be providing current active intelligence. Mueller also confirming that names have been added to the no-fly list. Two military buses collide in Florida, where the Highway Patrol says those buses were carrying Florida National Guard members to training.
It's still being investigated. It appeared the driver just was not paying attention.
Slamming into the back of the other bus and overturning, at least one person airlifted with serious injuries. A person of interest in the case of a missing Arizona baby now under arrest, but the baby's still missing. Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal live with more.
Lisa, in the case of missing 8-month-old Gabriel, Tammy has been arrested for alleged custodial interference and forgery. That's Tammy Smith. Tempe police had said that Tammy and Jack Smith had been withholding some information in his case. Now, the couple had wanted to adopt Gabriel from his mother, Elizabeth Johnson. Johnson's now in jail facing charges of kidnapping and child abuse. In December, she allegedly drove Gabriel from Arizona to San Antonio, Texas, but then went on to Florida without Gabriel. Police say she will not say where he is. She had told the baby's father that she had killed Gabriel, but she's also said she gave him away in Texas, Lisa.
Thanks, Jessica. President Obama heading back to the White House right now after a New Hampshire town hall meeting.
We've got to do everything we can to put people back to work because we need a sustainable recovery.
But at a Senate hearing, Republicans slamming his budget plan as a tax-raising, debt-deepening mistake. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Every day, more people wake up with America's number one morning news show. Breaking news you need to know, guests you have to see, and stories that have everyone talking. Steve, Brian, and Gretchen, the Fair and Balanced news team more Americans trust.
You get news like you don't see it on other channels.
We have a conversation with America.
The difference with Fox and Friends is that we also bring you tons of fun, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else.
Weekdays, wake up to Friends. Wake up to Fox and Friends. Only on Fox. Smart, tough, trust. Megyn Kelly covers every story, every event on America Live. Digging deeper, debating key issues, discussing the topics impacting you.
Our mission is to get you the facts fair and balanced.
There are two sides to every story. Only one show delivers both fair and balanced. Watch America Live with Megyn Kelly weekdays only on Fox News Channel.
We don't judge, we let you decide.
Is it time for gays and lesbians to serve openly in the U.S. military? A Senate hearing on repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Secretary of Defense Robert Gates told a Senate hearing that he's ordered an impact study into a possible change be completed by year's end. But Senate Republican John McCain said the law should stay in place.
It is sustain unit cohesion and unit morale while still allowing gay and lesbian Americans to serve their country in uniform.
Democrats generally want it repealed, their Senate leader Harry Reid saying later,
I don't think it serves the purpose of our national security.
It would take congressional action to repeal the 1993 law.
Fox Radio's Chris Barnes. Britain's Iraq war inquiry. Hearing from an outspoken former cabinet minister.
Claire Short lived up to reputation, delivering a scathing recollection of the run-up to shock and awe.
If ever you raised an issue that you wanted to bring to the cabinet, Tony Blair would see you beforehand and cut it off and say we don't want those things coming to the cabinet. In the case of Iraq, there was secretiveness and deception on top of that.
As International Development Secretary, she warned the rush to war could lead to a chaotic aftermath. Her appeals for more time were ignored. And when on the eve of the conflict she questioned its legality, she was told to shut up.
Michelle Clifford with Fox sister network Sky News. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair testifying yesterday there was no deception and that he does not regret removing Saddam Hussein. Wall Street loves February so far.
Stocks gain again for the second trading day in February. The Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P all posting gains for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 111 points, finishing at 10,297.
Fox Business Network's Nicole Petalides. He's already apologized, but now the Jets coach Rex Ryan will have to pay for flipping his middle finger at Dolphins fans at an event last weekend. The Jets fining Ryan $50,000. He could face a separate fine from the NFL. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Since 1948, Fate Magazine has delivered a one-of-a-kind reading experience. Covering everything from psychics, UFOs, paranormal investigations, and more. For more information, visit FateMag.com or call 1-800-728-2730. That's 1-800-728-2730. Fate Magazine. True reports of the strange and unknown.
Welcome back to Airstrike Radio. We are having a ton of fun with Miss Ingrid Dean, as well as these really, really brave men and women that are coming on to tell their tales about, well, in the line of duty, the different things. We had Stephen come on and talked about, well, really the story was as he was under fire, and whether it be through divine intervention, whether it be through faith, he was able to, well, he was wrapped in a glowing light that stopped him from being hit, and that was a heck of a story. My jaw is still on the floor. I'll tell the truth in that one. And we have another great one there, Todd. Why don't you go ahead and announce who we have now coming up?
We have got Mr. Herman Brown, and he's going to tell us about the story. It's entitled Wake Up.
That's a great story. I love that story in the book.
And he's an active duty Michigan State Police trooper.
Well, welcome, Herman, to Airstrike Radio. We're honored to have you.
It's an honor to be on your station to tell the story.
Wow, today I just reread your story again, and every time I read it, it's just one of those stories that kind of affects you on that emotional level, as well as just that, wow, that really happened level.
And you should have been there.
You got to tell me. You got to tell me the story. I need to hear the story from the man that lived it.
Yeah.
I am just...
It's better that way.
Go ahead. The floor is absolutely all yours.
Okay. What happened was, I've been working at that time when this happened about 12 years with the Michigan State Police out of a post called Monroe, around the border of Ohio in Michigan. And that day prior to work, I was working afternoon shift, getting off at about midnight. But it was just one of those days. It's summertime. I had been busy doing house stuff all day. Then I get to work, and we're running all day long. I get off of work. I wind up staying over for a call and just going home. Now, on my way home, there's a road called M50. It's a two-lane highway that goes out through the farmer fields, and you know, it's just all country. So the speed limit is 55 miles an hour. At that time, I would have had a Nissan pickup truck, a small 91. So it's a smaller truck, and I'm on my way home, and I'm tired. I'm just dog tired. Well, I can feel myself kind of nodding as I'm driving down this two-lane road in the middle of the night. And at one point, I knew I was out cold because I heard something. It was like a voice, or like a real light voice in my ear, and was making a sound. And you know, it's one of those things where you wake up, I open up my eyes, and I could feel my chin on my chest. So I knew I had to be out cold sleeping. But I could still feel the truck moving. I'm still rolling down the roadway. So the noise get louder and louder. Now, I'm the only one in my truck, and it's a small truck. And as I'm opening up my eyes and starting to come around, it's finally what this person is saying, wake up. So I'm like, what is going on? So I open up my eyes, I look forward, and I can see my truck starting to go off on the shoulder, and it's starting to head towards the ditch. Still running parallel to the road, and still rolling about 55, 60 miles per hour. So it gets louder, and I hear it feels like somebody's sitting next to me in my truck, and they're saying, wake up. And I mean, they're yelling so loud, it's almost hurting my ears. So I turn my head and I look, and I am face to face. You know how when you look in the mirror real close? Mm-hmm. It was somebody sitting there looking me right in the face, yelling, wake up.
Wow.
But the thing about the person, there was no features. It was like a light. And I saw like the darkness where the eyes would be, the nose, and I could see the mouth forming, you know, no lips or anything, just the opening. and the voice was as clear as can be and yelling, "Wake up."
So I'm like,
what is going on? So I could feel the truck starting to angle down because the passenger front tire and the back tire starting to drop down the slope of the ditch. So immediately, you know, I'm just used to our driving program that we have for the state police is very extensive. So I didn't panic at all, but I steered the truck out of the ditch, still going, get back up on the gravel, slow down on the roadway. I'm like, what just happened? So I look back at the passenger seat, and now the person that looked like it was there made out of light is slowly just fading away. And I'm sitting there like, what just... At first, I'm thinking, you're dreaming, but the truck is moving. So I know I wasn't dreaming. I'm wide awake now. I'm like, what the heck was that? So I'm just sitting there, and I stop on the shoulder, and I'm thinking, all my senses are just blown out of proportion. I'm thinking, did I just see what I thought I saw? But I'm driving, so I'm not sleeping and sitting still in the truck. I'm actually moving. And like I said, it just faded away, and that was it. It didn't look like anybody I recognized. I didn't have anybody pass away recently, nothing like that. And it was just freaky. So I just got back on the roadway and kept driving. I kept looking over in the seat thinking, okay, maybe the person is coming back, but I never seen it again.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That is... That's crazy.
That was crazy. Was crazy. I just figure it had to be a guardian angel because of the thing is, from where I was looking in that ditch, if I hadn't woke up going at that speed, I would have easily flipped my truck in that ditch, and I would have probably been severely injured, if not killed.
Oh, yeah. Crash. Yeah, definitely. Now, do you remember any of the features of this person?
The thing is, to me, it looked like it might be a male, only because the body, you know, what I remember is looking across is not only at the face, but when I got back on the road and I looked back over, it looked like, you know, the person that was sitting next to me was now sitting but facing forward, and the chest looked like, you know, didn't look like a woman's chest, looked like a male's chest, but it didn't look like anybody ever recognized, and it didn't have any features, you know, like dimples, a hair, nothing like that. I just remember the light being bright with the dark eyes, nose, and mouth, like, cut out.
Wow.
That is, well, you saw a ghost, my friend, or a guardian angel, something.
Hey, I'm labeling it as my guardian angel, because if it wasn't for that, like I said, when the voice kept making a noise, I'm sure it was saying wake up the whole time. Like I said, when I opened up my eyes, my chin was touching my chest, and I was still driving. I could feel the vehicle, you know, hitting the gravel and going, and I'm thinking, what is going on? What is that noise? Until I looked, and it was facing my Nissan 91 pickup truck. There's not much room in that truck. So when I turned and faced that noise, we were face to face, and it was yelling, "Wake up!"
How? I can't imagine something like that. And yet, you know, seeing it is one thing, Herman, but interacting.
Yeah, that's and like that's never happened to me before. I've never had. I believe in spirits. I believe in angels. I believe that, you know, we got people still around, but I have never ever experienced anything like that.
You know, and I'm told in my studies that the difference between an angel and a ghost is that angels have a lot of light around mm-hmm. them, as where ghosts do not.
Right, right.
And okay. So I think that you're absolutely right, Herman, that it was an angel, that it was divine intervention there versus just an earthbound ghost.
And I'll bet you... I'll bet you went on to do great things after that, didn't you? There was a reason why you're woken up.
I did. Well, you know, I do a lot of volunteer stuff and, you know, working with the, you know, being a trooper, and mm-hmm. especially with Michigan, we do everything. You know, we go to the barking dog complaints, the runaways, mm-hmm. you know, somebody's housing broken. So we do everything. So I come into contact with lots of different types of people and situations. Yep. Yep. And I hope that I've helped some people along the way.
Well, you know, just by talking with you on the phone, you seem like a very nice and sympathetic individual. I mean, you know, you seem like one of those guys that wants to help people, truly wants to help people.
Oh, absolutely. Try to make this world a better place, especially with the stuff we see.
Now, when you got home after this incident happened, did you tell your wife right away, or did you kind of sit on it for a couple days?
Oh, I told her like the next day. Usually when I get home, she's already sleeping. She's a state trooper also. And she was at the time working afternoon shift. So when I got home, she was already asleep. And I told her the next day. And in fact, when I got back to work, I told everybody, I said, you won't believe what happened to me. Let me tell you what happened. And, you know, I don't think there's one person who knows me. No, I would never make stuff up like that. It would be no reason to make up a story like that. Mm-hmm. And everybody would just say, wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, would it be all right with you if we took a caller? Because we do have one online. Oh, would that be okay with
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Hello, caller.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Caller, you're on live, Airstrike Radio. You're here with myself, Joel Sturgis, Todd Bates, Ingrid Dean. As well, my gosh, you just heard the man that told the story. You have a question for this. I'm in shock. Caller, I imagine you're in shock as well.
Yeah, it's Phil.
Phil, how are you?
Hey, Phil, Billy, how you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good. I had to call in listening to these stories because I live in Michigan. As you know, I'm in Oakland County.
All right.
And I know, and I've lived here most of my life, so I know what these police officers, what their job is like. The things that go on, and I do believe that, yeah, you did see a guardian angel there.
Well, I hope so. Well, whatever it was, it definitely saved my life that day.
Did you need new BVDs afterwards, though?
No, in fact, one of the young troopers.
Police issue. Yeah, police issue.
Because God knows I would have.
Wow.
Well, because I was thinking, yeah, normally, yeah, just a spirit of someone who passed away isn't going to show up like that, unless it's possibly a loved one that's watching over you.
Mm-hmm. And that's right.
But for something to be that, something to be that bright and show up that strongly, yeah, somebody stepped in real quick to wake you up, I think.
Yeah, that's some kind of guardian angel. If it's self-illuminating like that, and it came out, and you were in a state like that, and it kept telling you, you know, wake up, it wasn't your time, you know?
No, that's why I asked. Oh. Well, you know, I bet you, that's why I said, I bet you went on to do some great things, because years ago, I was in a rollover crash. Years ago, I was just a kid. I was probably maybe 19, 20, and I wasn't wearing a seatbelt or anything. Don't ever do that. Everybody always buckle up in a vehicle. But at this time, I was not wearing one. And the driver rolled the car, and my window was down to everything. There's no explanation why I was not thrown from that vehicle.
Oh, you should have been thrown.
I should have been thrown. And I remember feeling like almost like a pressure on my body holding me in. And I kind of attributed that to a centrifugal force, maybe, if that's the right word, if I could talk tonight. Keeping me in that vehicle, but I kind of look back at it thinking, wow, you know, everybody that I've ever heard of that was in that exact same situation without seatbelt on, window down, the whole nine yards, 9 times out of 10, they're thrown from that vehicle.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
So,
oh my God, Joel. This has been a long time ago, but back probably the mid-70s, my wife and I had, if people remember, a Chevrolet Vega.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The industry.
My wife and I had one, and Herman will know what I'm talking about. We were going down Southfield Freeway. We were going to her parents' house, and all of a sudden, I heard tires squealing. And I looked up in the rearview mirror, and the next thing, I saw a big yellow car, and it clipped the back end of us, and we flipped. It turned us sideways, and we flipped.
Crazy.
And it, Joel, it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
It was my wife and I and our dog. Our dog was in the back seat. And the next thing I remember is the car skidding on the roof and looking over and yelling at my wife, are you all right? And she said, yeah. And then the next thing, I looked out the window, and I just saw the dog's tail going out the window.
Mm-hmm.
We all got out of that with just little minor scratches.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me as well. We flipped it. We were on a four-lane highway, and we were southbound. We ended up flipping the vehicle, going into the northbound lane, going all the way across the medium, never got hit or anything. I mean, wow. I mean, we should have been thrown, or B, we should have at least been hit by another vehicle.
Exactly.
You know, so,
yeah, well, Herman will know, the Southfield Freeway is very narrow. It's old.
Oh,
it's only
yeah.
three lanes. We were right at Southfield and Plymouth Road.
I know exactly where that is.
Yeah.
When Joel said that, it just like was deja vu. I was like, oh my God, that same thing. Sounds just like what happened to us.
It's,
you got to tell me, did the dog survive?
In fact, they put us in an ambulance because we were fine. I mean, we had scratches because the windshield shattered and things, but they took us up the side of the expressway there, and we sat there, and the ambulance came. They put the dog, Terry was her name, they put her in the ambulance with us. We went into the hospital and they put her back in a caged-in area where they kept oxygen tanks and things, and the nurses were all going back there petting her and talking to her, and she was real friendly, and she was fine. And my wife and I came out of it with, she banged her knee, and I had a bunch of scratches on my back where glass went down the back of my shirt, and I got scraped up. So there again, I think somebody had to be watching over us.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing here, and then, my gosh, to have a ghost or an angel show up in your truck while you're sleeping, that's like a big neon sign saying you have bigger things ahead of you. That's why you're not going to die here.
I mean, that is so freaky. We haven't even seen that in movies yet. It's unheard of.
And that's the thing with the bright light. I think that will ever, forever burn in my memory because I just remember it was so bright, but it wasn't so bright that it hurt your eyes. But it was just so bright, it just made you squint and just think, wow, what is going on? What is that? Unbelievable.
Yeah, enough to shock you into waking up.
Exactly.
Oh, I was, trust me, I was awake for a long time after that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, I'm going to get off here.
Hey, Phil.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to get off here, and I just want to say, too, I have not had a traffic ticket in like 17 years.
So you have to come on down.
I'm a good boy.
You want some of my
good boy?
You want some? I'll give you a couple.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. I'll help you out with that, Phil. Don't worry.
Okay.
Take care, Phil.
See you, Phil. Thanks a ton for calling.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a quick. You and I just got an email, Joel. I want to read this real quick here.
Sure.
This is from Steven.
Oh, good.
He says, hey, guys, just wanted to thank you for giving me the chance to be on the show tonight and tell my story at Angel's Shield. If you give me a mailing address, I would be honored to mail you a Detroit Police Bomb Squad Challenge coin.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. I would add that.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that is so cool.
That's fantastic.
That is absolutely cool. Awesome. I can't thank him enough. I mean, that's quite an honor.
It is.
That is quite an honor to do that for us. That, most definitely, I'll take him up on the offer.
Yes. I've already replied.
Oh, good, good. You're way ahead of me. But now you are actively still a police officer, are you not?
Yes.
Oh, man. See, now it's guys like you that are making the world better.
Absolutely.
And how many years do you have in, Herman?
I have 16 years right now.
Herman, that is an accomplishment right there. I mean, wow. Is the burnout rate really high for police officers that with that longevity?
Well, sometimes. I think it depends on the person. Mm-hmm. With our department, we have 25 years and out where you get your full retirement.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one thing you have to remember, and it's a lot better than what it used to be like in the 30s and stuff when people didn't know how to deal with their stress. Mm-hmm. You know, now you got a chance of where you've been taught to either work out. It's all about how you eat and take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. That gives you that longevity.
Mm-hmm.
The better in shape you are, the better outside activities you have, it provides longevity for you in the job.
Yeah, and plus the exercising probably cuts down on a lot of the stress as well that I'm sure you take home with you.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just like you see the movies and stuff, you know, especially like New York, the officer stressors, the way they relieve themselves were, you know, alcohol and smoking and stuff like that, which was all bad.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays we're more educated and stuff about how to take better care of yourself. And I think there's still a lot of stressors in the job, but there's ways to work that out so you have a long job.
Well, there is one thing that I've got to say. You know, I lived in Indianapolis for 5 years, and the IPD up there, those guys are just phenomenal. There was three people that robbed a village pantry store there, and the police responded so fast. Then they had a foot chase. They caught up with these, and these guys were in shape. The thieves were little thugs there, and these guys just took off and apprehended all three of them. And it, you know, I mean, and you see it on TV how they run, and they always catch. You cannot run from a police officer; you're going to be found.
Yeah. They got a little thing called radios.
We got those canines out there too; they can smell them out.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Those.
I was on canine when I worked corrections. I was on canine in the emergency squad there. And I worked, I worked with a bloodhound, but that aggression dogs there, his name was Max. Wow, you talk about just well disciplined. But I saw him take down an inmate, and it's not pretty. Those dogs are business.
Yeah, they'll ruin your day.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Well, Herman,
and the dog probably has fun doing it because he says, "All right, I finally get to do something here."
Oh yeah, he thinks it's a toy.
The dog goes for it.
He knows if he rips off human flesh, he gets his tennis ball.
Oh jeez, what an incentive!
He gets an extra milk bone. Okay, I'm going to get off here.
Phil, thank you.
I'm going to get off here. Thank you, Ingrid and Herman. I enjoy talking to you.
Well, Phil, I want to thank you a ton also before you leave for calling in, listening to us, and supporting Airstrike Radio, man. You have been quite a good friend, and you've done a lot to help us out. And I just want to do that right here on air and thank you a ton.
Well, hey, we're a family. We all help each other.
Absolutely, amen, my friend. Absolutely. And that being said, we're going to go ahead and go to another break, and when we come back, we got one more story to tell, and I just can't thank Herman enough for coming on the air with us. It was awesome. My pleasure, absolutely, to have him, and we'll be right back after this.
Get the tools you need to create content for every design discipline in one offering, the Adobe Creative Suite 3 Master Collection. And when it comes to audio, Adobe Audition Software is the all-in-one toolset for professional audio production. Thinking multimedia? Think Adobe.com.
Joys and tears, you just stay right there. No, you ain't scared. Say you like what you hear. Where do you come from? I know it can't be here. 'Cause I've been laying my head down in this town for all these. As I sleep, I dream of all my enemies and fears.
Affordable and independent with LoudCity.com. Discover great music with over 500 channels to choose from, or become a DJ and stream your own music. For more information, visit LoudCity.com today.
You're listening to your home of stimulating talk radio. Airstrike Radio. Airstrike Radio coming right back at you. We are having just an absolutely fun night with Ingrid P. Dean, as well as Mr. Todd Bates right here, co-hosting, as always, in the house with me. And, of course, always, man, you rock. You rule.
And, yeah, so do you.
I have missed it, too. We're having just an absolutely phenomenal night. We have heard some of the most phenomenal stories I've ever heard in my life, Todd.
That's no joke, man.
I mean, these stories are just rocking my world. And when we have one more for our audience that's just eating this stuff up, they're having a great time. Can you go ahead and introduce our next officer?
Absolutely. We have Mr. Thomas Curtis. He's going to tell us about his story in the book, The Amazing Shot is the name of his story. The Amazing Shot. He's with the Michigan State Police. He is a retired lieutenant, emergency support team, like the Green Berets. So, other words, don't mess with Thomas.
That's right.
You would have a bad time.
Welcome, Thomas.
Well, thank you for having me.
The Amazing Shot.
I read that story. Like I said, I read all these stories again today, and this one actually grabbed me. I mean, all of them were great. Yep. The two that grabbed me the most was The Shield. You know, of course, the first story, and then this story really grabbed me on that level. And when you're in the moment, I mean, you know what? You're going to tell the story 10 times, a million times better than anyone else could, so please, you have the floor.
Well, I'll give you a little history. I joined the SWAT team in 1975, and this event took place in the late 80s, so I had been on the team for quite a while and was one of the senior members. We had a gentleman in his late 70s barricade himself into a home. Police officers from the county responded, and he wounded two of the deputies. And then he shot his and killed his dog, and then had shot his wife in the arm, severing it.
Oh, my gosh.
And, And I was one of the last guys to get to the call. Normally, we're located across the state, and depending on what the incident is, how many people they send. Well, it was in the winter time, so I knew that we had been hearing this going on during the day, and my partner and I knew that they were going to be calling us fairly soon. Because of the weather, you can't maintain a perimeter point, you know, for only a couple hours and still be functional. So we figured that we'd probably get up there and just help somebody take over their perimeter points so the other guys could get warmed up. But when we got there, I was surprised that they had communicated with the wife. They had got her on the phone, and she described her injury. And we had a doctor on scene, and he was describing to us how critical her situation was and that we're going to have to do something or that she would perish. Mm-hmm. So at about that time, too, we were pretty proud of a record that we had. We had been on hundreds and hundreds of calls, and to that date, we had not had to shoot anybody. Our negotiators were excellent. Our entry team was excellent, and I guess our theory was different than some SWAT teams that just about anybody can shoot somebody through a window, but the real skill was could we negotiate these people out and solve the situation. And we had been very successful till this date. But this had been kind of like a classic hostage situation. We had have to take life to save life, and we're running out of time. They had noticed this gentleman, every time they called his name, he would come to this, he had a modular home. And in the middle of the modular home, there was a window that was probably 4 inches across and 2 foot tall. Mm-hmm. And he would cup his hands, and he would look out that window every time that we'd call his name on the PA system. He was not negotiating with us. We could not establish any negotiation with him at all. Mm-hmm. He had ripped the phone out of the wall. He wouldn't take our bag phone. He was, like I said, suffering from Alzheimer's. I only think he knew what we were trying to accomplish to get him out and save his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So being the senior guy, I got there and I said, how come we haven't done anything yet? And the guys were kind of worried about their record. And I said, well, we got to do something to save the life. I'm senior. I'll take the shot. Well, the snow was about waist deep at that time in the winter. Got our cold weather gear on, and my spotter went with me, and we went down a wooded fence line. Had a lot of cover, but it was arduous getting there. And so once we got there in position, we had to obviously catch our breath and get settled in so we could make a shot. Prior to that, we would shoot once a month to keep our shooting skills honed, and we got bored with just shooting the target and hitting it every time, so we started messing around with 12-gauge shotgun shells. And I don't know if you're familiar with those kind of shells, but they have a primer right in the middle of the shell, and it's probably an eighth of an inch max wide.
Mm-hmm.
And at 30 and 40 yards, we would shoot those rifles and hit that primer and blow it up. And we got so we could do that 7 or 8 times, hit 7 of them out of 10 on a regular basis. So we were pretty proficient in our skills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we got to the location, and it was decided that we would call his name, and he would come to the window like he always had, and we'd have the entry team right by the door. And as soon as the shot was made, they would enter and recover him and get his wife out of there as soon as possible. And there was a paramedic with him in the back, one of the last guys to come in. So it's scheduled. They put him on the PA system. I tell him I'm ready, and he comes to the window, and he's my size. He's about 6'2". And he cups his hands and leans forward and looks out the window. And the reason I did that, we had illumination all around the house, so he had to cup his eyes to be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the scope on him, and what we call it the T. If you look at each of your eyebrows, where that's horizontal, and then your nose is vertical.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right.
And that more than cross, that's the T, and that's where we were trying to affect the shot, right at the T. So I get him in a scope, and it looked just like the grandpa. It looks just like the grandpa on my mom's side. And it, so much of it startled me. And my partner's saying, there he is, take the shot. And so I didn't, and so he left the window, and I quickly lied to him and said that my scope's fogged up, give me a second. Because I had never failed on a mission before, but just the image of looking like my grandfather just startled me. So we get settled in again, and they call him, and I send the round this time, and I watch him fall out of the scope. Well, then the entry team goes in, and I hear another shot, and I go, what the heck? And I went up there to see what was going on. Me and my partner ran up there, and here he was. They had him handcuffed, and they're walking him out. He had a bullet wound in his leg, and a bullet wound through and through in his left shoulder.
Good.
And I couldn't figure out what I had done wrong, so I went and looked at the window. And there was a round perfectly placed right max stab in the nail of that window, right where he was looking, and I should have took him right in the tee, but it took him in the shoulder. Before I sent that round, I said a little prayer. I said, God, I don't want to kill this guy, but I got to do my job. I'll see if you can help me. Just, it was that simple. And the only thing that I can think of is that a 78-year-old man jumped a foot up in the air and over to the left for the round to hit him in the shoulder, or the good Lord answered my prayer. And I didn't say anything about this for years.
My That's and I was Mark.
Only one that knew, and until Ingrid wrote that beautiful book and was asking for stories. And so I thought, well, I've sat on this long enough, I'll share it with other people.
Now that is truly an amazing shot.
Wow.
Quote.
and you know, he had all these witnesses, too, from his fellow EMS team and ES team, and there were crime people there, from what I understand, right?
Yeah, the crime lab was there. They couldn't determine. I mean, they strung that shot from where I sent it, and they said, we don't know where I hit him in the shoulder time. It looks like it's impossible.
Mm.
So, like, God moved the bullet.
he answered my prayer.
Well, that is divine. That is divine intervention.
That
right
is.
There.
That is. Okay. What did the forensics team, when they came in to investigate? You know, they always come in to investigate after the scene. What did they say about the trajectory? If I could speak tonight, I'm so kind of dumbfounded by the story. I've never heard of that happening. Yeah. What did they say? That where did they say he should have been hit?
They didn't say anything at first. When you're involved in a shooting, they secure your weapon. And and we left the scene, but then the next refresher school, the crime lab person that had recovered my weapon and had done the forensics, and back then used to run a string from the hole and through a window to where you sent the round, and they couldn't. He said, "I don't know what you did, Tom." He said, "You should have hit him right in the head." He said, "You hit him in the shoulder," and I didn't say nothing to him. I just
that's just unheard of.
What he had to say.
And then
the other thing, too, is that nobody saw the man jump either. I mean, it's not like he could jump a foot in the air. He just fell back, right?
If you think about the distance from the tee, where your eyebrows and nose cross, down to the center of your shoulder where it would be a through-and-through shot and not hit any bone, that's where the round went in. And that's depending on the person, but that's usually from 10 to 12 inches.
Wow. So you didn't shank the shot?
No. I know I didn't shank it. I thought about that for years because that was such an expert shot. And matter of fact, I even had there were some other guys that had vision like I do. Ted, a baseball player that could see the stitches on a baseball, came Ted Williams.
Yep.
And then Chuck Yeager, he could see bullets leaving his gun on his airplanes when he was practicing, and I could actually see rounds leaving my .30-06 when
You're
I was
kidding
practicing.
Me!
So it's
wow.
So I know that it wasn't that I shanked the shot. I mean, the guys on the entry team were a little upset with me because I hadn't done my job, and he was still crawling around trying to get his gun, and I just never said anything. I let, you know, we do a critique at the end of every call, and they were kind of critiquing me fairly hard because I didn't do my job, but
yeah,
the evidence was there that I did my job. I just hit him on the shoulder, and to this day I can't understand. Explain it other than God must have answered my prayer.
Well, because when you think about it, when you think about the story, okay, you have an elderly man that's suffering from Alzheimer's. There's no way he, number one, there is no way he's going to be athletic enough. The normal elderly man is not athletic enough to jump that high in the air. No way in the world. And number two, where you place that shot, that glass is not going to make that bullet move that much. It's going to go right through it.
No, not one.
The
only glass that will make that bullet move a lot is the glass that was on banks for years.
Yeah, like the bulletproof glass, you know, something.
Yeah,
that was
very thick, and that would change it.
In fact, it should make a mushroom as it hits it.
But well, I was rewarded after I got to read all of Ingram's stories of the Spirit of the Badge, how many other wonderful stories are out there. So I'm glad that. That I got to participate in it.
Oh, it's a great story, great book, Ingrid. Wonderful book.
You know, and I get so many comments on that story, Tom. I mean, it's not just miraculous, but it's very emotionally evoking mm-hmm. because you really did do your job, in mm-hmm. my opinion. Because
oh, absolutely,
you know, you put the prayer out there and you kept the man alive, and you were able to. You know, close out the situation and save the wife. And how much better can it get?
Oh, it worked for me.
Well, yeah, the lady was saved. The guy lived. I mean, that's the perfect outcome.
It is.
No one was lost.
And you know what was interesting to me too is you had mentioned that you only saw black and white.
Oh,
while.
Yes.
Yes.
Matter of fact, my son is reading your book right now, Ingrid. And so I didn't get a chance to go through it over it again before this interview, but I found that very strange, too, that when I went up to the scene, there's ambulances, there's blue uniforms, there's red lights, there's blue lights, there's all these different colors, and all I could see was black and white. And so I asked our on-staff psychologist, the two of them that always travel with us, to do psychological profiles of the suspect behind the barricade. And he said that was psychological denial, that I didn't want to see any blood or any color. And I found that interesting. That's the only time it ever happened to me in a shooting.
Wow.
They said it was psychological denial on your part that you didn't want to see the man die?
I didn't want to see the blood or see the man die.
Wow. And so your eyes go black and white, and then when does the color come back?
I don't know when it came back. Fairly soon, but the other shootings I've been involved in over the years, that never happened to me. It was always color.
That is amazing.
It is. It's really interesting.
Now, do you think that there's more of a symbolic message to that black and white?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't. I just accepted it for the what it was and for the answer I got, and I could live with that. And so,
What a story! I can't thank you enough for sharing that with us.
Fantastic.
Well, you can probably tell in the inflection on my voice when I still talk about it after all these years. It's
touchy.
Still an amazing thing to me.
I would be lying if I didn't say I have a bit of a tear in my eye. And that,
yeah,
that is for
that,
real.
Yeah, Joel. I mean, that is divine. That is divine.
It's really, just
that is a miracle.
It just grabs you right there in that emotional level, and it's a wonderful story, wonderful outcome. And I want to thank you for serving all of us for as many years as you have.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Those guys that I worked with, they were the greatest guys in the world. What a fraternity.
Yeah,
a family, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And your story, Ingrid, you told this story so wonderfully. I mean, the book translates exactly from what he said to the book. Sometimes a writer, and you did not do this at all, takes creative liberties with some of these stories. That's one thing I want to give you kudos on. You never, you know, everybody that's been here, what they told is in that book, exactly the way they told it.
Well, I appreciate that because I really feel the stories are, they're special and extraordinary when they come right from the mouth of the storyteller, you know, of the officer that experienced, you know, the situation. And so I didn't want to change anything at all. You know, I merely edited and tried to make the stories short, clear, and concise and, and to the point, but not lose the emotional, miraculous aspect of the story, too. And like this story, The Amazing Shot, that touches me every time I read it. And I've read it so many times, but I'm affected every time. So that was...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just, you know, every story has an element of that that miraculousness in it. And that's the nature of the book. It's about the miracles in police work that are seldom talked about.
Well, Joe and I got the best of both worlds. We got to read the book, then we got to hear the stories from the actual officers. That is a gift that is priceless.
Isn't that fun? It really gives you... color, you know, color to the story when you have that real person telling it. It just amazing.
I would also like to touch on a little bit that you're all these stories, not all the stories in the book are from Michigan. And if you are a police officer, really anywhere, and you have a fantastic story to tell, how can they get a hold of you, Ingrid?
Go to my website. I would just be absolutely honored to hear from any police officer or police family member that may know of a miraculous police story, because there is going to be a book two, and I'm about halfway through the book, and so there's room for some additional miraculous stories, and I really would like to get a well-rounded selection from all over the country. So anyone listening in the South, East, and West, by all means, contact me on my website.
And that is?
SpiritOfTheBadge.
Yep.
.com.
Absolutely. And there's a link right there in airstrikeradio.com going directly to that as well. So everybody that wants to buy a copy of this book, you can either go directly to your website, go to Barnes & Noble, you can go to Amazon, you can go to your favorite bookstore, check out this book. It is worth
it is.
It is so worth the read. You're going to find yourself reading it over and over. I read The Amazing Shot, no kidding, three times in a row I read that story.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put the book down. You really can't, folks. It's great stories, and it really, really wakes you up about, you know, our fellow, the police officers out there, how they protect and serve. You know, it puts them in a whole new perspective than what the stereotype is that all you folks think. It's completely different. They spill their guts, their emotions out on this. And, you know, I'm very, very, very proud of each one of them, you know, out there, you know, that are out there protecting us.
Are you getting choked up, Todd?
I am.
I am, too. I am,
well,
too.
What I found, too, how it left me after that was that I wasn't any Bible-thumping goody-two-shoes. I was a warrior on a SWAT team. I mean, I was God-fearing, but that I could call out and ask for help in the middle of a problem and have them answer me, and that just still this day stymies me, how loving and giving he is. And then you read the book, and there's other officers that were affected the same way by an event, so it changed me. It was a life-changing experience.
Well, you're truly protecting and serving.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you're putting, when you're out there, and you're doing what you guys do every day, day in and day out, it's scary, number one, for yourself and for your family. But you know what? You just know that you have a higher calling, and that's why you're doing it.
Well, I don't think that any one of those guys that get saddled up to go out on the road, there's somebody else in that car with them.
I believe that as well. I really do. And the thing of it is the police, in my mind, don't get as many kudos as they should.
They don't.
Now, I think we also experience some very sacred moments in just our ordinary moments in police work as well. You know, these extraordinary stories are incredible, and so are some of the most ordinary moments of our work. And oftentimes we won't share these real special moments because they're so sacred to us, and we don't, you know, we don't want people to compromise how good certain moments make us feel, you know? Yeah.
Very well said. Very well said. Well, on that note, we're going to go to our last break. When we come back, Ingrid, is there anything that you'd like to say as we leave the air to kind of, because we're going to go to our last break where we have a giveaway to give away, all that kind of good stuff. We'd like to, is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with, whether you or anybody else that would like to, well, I'm a little choked up, okay? Still am with that story.
I guess I'd like to say that the stories that have been gathered here, they read like a true crime drama. Mm-hmm. They are all in the officer's own words, and it's a genuine effort to show a more all-embracing, mm-hmm. comprehensive view of law enforcement. You know, it includes the spiritual as well. The stories include both extraordinary and ordinary moments, and I think the book captures some very sacred moments as well. We're often, you know, stretched beyond our five senses, and we all realize, consciously or unconsciously, that there's probably something out there much bigger than we are. So
very true.
That's the message of the book. And if there's anyone out there, police officers that have a story, please go to my website, spiritofthebadge.com. I would love to hear from you. And you'll get a free book. I promise you a free book and your story published in the next book. Would love to hear from you.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Ingrid, as always, it has been a pleasure to have you on the air. And I want to thank each and every one of these officers that have been willing to come on the air and tell us these stories. Thank you guys so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we're going to take off to our next break. When we come back, we have a giveaway. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a few more minutes left of the show. And hang tight, guys. Right back after this.
With Vonage, you can enjoy unlimited local and long-distance calling for as low as $24.99 a month. Vonage gives you more than just a great price. Free calls to landlines in select European countries. International calling for as low as pennies per month. 25-plus premium features including voicemail, caller ID, and call waiting. 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can keep your existing number for life. Simply visit www.vonage.com/friend and enter the HVRN Vonage line, 618-215-2136. And not only can you help Haunted Voices Radio, you can receive up to 2 free months of service. Again, just visit vonage.com/friend and enter 618-215-2136 for your free 2 months of service. And thanks for listening from the Haunted Voices Radio Network.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
for professional meters for your next investigation? Look no further than Alpha Lab Scientific Instruments, makers of AC and DC milligauss meters, earth magnetometers, and the widely used Tri-Field Natural EM meter. This meter actually detects changes in extremely weak static electric and magnetic fields, and signals with both a tone and movement of a needle-type gauge if either the electric or magnetic field changes from previous levels. A must-have for any paranormal researcher. For all your field meter needs, visit Alpha Lab Scientific Instruments at trifield.com. TRIfield.com.
You're listening to Airstrike Radio Online with your hosts, Joel Sturgis and Todd Bates. Airstrike Radio is your home for alternative talk radio, the show for everything from pop culture to politics and all things in between. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here at airstrikeonline.com.
Airstrike Radio coming right back at you. We've had a bit of emotional night tonight, haven't we, Todd?
Yes, we have. Yes, and most certainly.
Talk about those brave men and women out there doing that for us. It's crazy.
It is. I mean, we take a lot of them for granted. We really do. You drive by them. Usually when somebody's driving down the street and they see a police car, what's the first thing they do? They put their seatbelt on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And yeah. I am really good friends with our town police officer, Ed. He's a great guy. And him and I used to butt heads. And he straightened me up. He really straightened me up. He treated me with respect, the utmost respect. And he comes over the house, and we're friends to this day. He takes me on ride-alongs with him. And it's, they're people, too. They're just not out there. They're not all on ego trips. A lot of your young ones coming in, Joel, yeah, they're trying to save the world.
Oh, sure. Make
one or two movies they shouldn't, but...
Sure. But, well, before Ingrid left, during the break, she wanted us to get the word out that she's also looking to hear from all you first responders out there. That's right. Yep. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, all the first responders, what, EMT, military, all that.
Yeah, all the first responders out there, she wants to hear from you. She wants your stories to be told as well. But guess what? We have a giveaway.
Yeah, I think we need to toss something out of here. It's taking up some space, Joel.
Oh, yeah? What is it? Can I win it? Can I win it? Huh? Can I win it?
You kidding me? You already got some coming. Well, what we got up for grabs here, those of you folks watching there at KelseyLive.com, got a Parlor Muse album. This courtesy of our sponsors, Midnight Syndicate. And by the way, I want to get this out. It is official. Midnight Syndicate weekend, March 20th and 21st.
Oh, I'll be there, man. I'll be there.
Oh, you're going to be there. All right. Ed and Gavin are going to be there. And Sarah is sending a ton of giveaway goody stuff. So it's going to be a great March 20th and 21st. But we got a Parlor Muse album, Gavin's Parlor Muse, and also a copy of Midnight Syndicate's The 13th Hour and an autographed Parlor Muse poster from Gavin Gosk.
Oh, my gosh, man. I got to win now. Come on. Let me fix it so I win.
And see, Blake, he was here. He was sitting back here earlier, and I opened up the prize vault. You know, my bottom drawer of the prize vault.
Sure.
And he just, wow, what is this? And he, oh, we got somebody calling in here.
They already want to win.
He went down there. Listen, he liked it. You know, he liked the way it looked, and you know, the whole thing was looking at the posters, and so yeah. I mean, it appeases to every crowd. And I gave one up to Tony, the gamer up there that I was talking to yesterday, Joel. Mm-hmm. I gave a D&D one, and you know, it's great for gamers to listen to horror attractions, anything. Yeah. MidnightCynic.com. The guys are awesome. Jeff, we got a caller on the line.
Cool.
Welcome to Strike. You're live. Where are you calling from?
This is Todd calling from California.
Todd,
how you doing?
Wow!
We got two of them now.
Yeah, this is Todd HD.
That's right. This is the guy.
Man, this is the man behind the making, Joel.
Oh, cool.
This is the man. This is the guy that built the platform. This is the guy that's making it happen, and we're excited about you being on here. You know, the reason why I called you is that, I don't know if you realize this, but we're really going to get serious coming up on the 20th. As you know, I don't know if you know this, but the 21st is Kelsey's birthday.
Mine too.
And so, I heard you had the same birthday.
Yeah, him and I have the same birthday.
That is cool.
Isn't that funny? And so, what we're going to do is, we have a medium psychic type. Her name is Sharon Jeffers. She's written a couple of books. She's actually coming in from New York, and she's going to do a reading that we're going to be streaming live on Kelsey Live. And really, this is going to kind of be like the launch of his new channel, and a place also that you'll need to be hanging out. But the thought process is that Kelsey wants to take a little more active role in helping you out, and hopefully that'll attract more donations in from the Kelsey Live people and other people that are out there. And as you know, him and Camille, too, also, they're big into the medium thing. That's why he produces the show. And we want to find a way to connect, as Kelsey's very connected and is very much into the subject matter. That's why.
Wow.
That'd be an honor.
Yeah, we like your show. We really like your show. I pop in and out. I watch your show. You're doing a great job. Kelsey, you know, we got him to call in the first time. Now he's doing it on his own. He told me that he called in yesterday, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I got to get my I have to get my camera up and running as well over here at Kelsey. I'm a straggler. I know Todd keeps yelling at me. You got to get it done. So I will definitely get that done, folks.
That is...
Yeah, you got to have that. You got to have that camera up. This is like a new phenomenon to be able to broadcast while you're doing your radio show. People can actually pop in and you see behind the scenes. People love that. They really enjoy that.
They do. They're really, really getting into that. And, you know, I know I mute the mic a lot on the breaks, but last night I let it go, and they love the behind-the-scenes audio in there. It gives them that whole feel.
You should have it on. You should have it behind the scenes. That should be their little treat. I mean, you know, this is internet, so even if you slip and say something, we don't have the FCC on us, so don't worry about that. You know, a lot of us know Kelsey Grammer is Fraser Crane, but he's a little edgy himself, you know, so he has his moments. So you might get him saying a few things, so, you know.
Consider it done, Todd.
Absolutely.
From this point forward, no more muting the mic during breaks at KelseyLive.com.
But I get horrible.
No, let them all be involved.
You let them all be involved. That way, they can be a part of the archive too. That's cool, Joe.
Yes, and I think we can get Camille on. I don't think there'll be an issue. I think that Kelsey will come on several times. I think you should look up Sharon Jeffers. She's got an incredible thing. We had a meeting in Kelsey's office before he went to New York, and she really is all about working with a plain deck of cards and what it means. And I can't tell you because I'm really not into any of these subjects. This is all new subject matter for me. So you hear me chiming in, and I'm listening to your audience and people calling in on events and things happening. So to me, it's quite an exciting topic, but it's all new stuff for me.
Well, I got to ask you, Todd, did you enjoy tonight's program?
Excellent program. You guys are doing a good job. I saw you guys need to raise money. So, I mean, you know, the Kelsey Live people are really generous people if you ask them and engage them. You know, we raised $100,000 for Haiti in a week.
I saw that.
Oh, my gosh. Kudos to you guys. Is that crazy? Awesome.
That is fantastic. And, yeah, I mean, we are non-for-profit. And with the economy the way it is, it's really, really hard to keep something like this up and running.
You'll see we're going to help you out a little more. We're going to make sure that we spread the word. We like the programming. You know, Kelsey enjoys the show. It happens to be a subject matter that he's connected with, and so is Camille. She's very connected. She's actually a medium herself. So, I mean, this is you've got a couple people that are very interested in the subject matter. Hence, that's why we started Channel. We haven't launched it officially yet, but the other Kelsey channel is the Channel 22 Channel.
Sure.
That's coming up shortly. It's a good friend of his, Ron Bard. who just got back from Japan. He just did a huge, huge broadcast in Japan where everyone dials in on their mobile phones. We'll be able to get him on the line because I understand he just flew back into L.A. He was just there for a month. And these are all, we'll get you all these guests on these shows.
Oh, my gosh. That would be absolutely wonderful. And anything that we can do in return, we absolutely will do to help you guys out.
Well, get that damn camera up there. What the hell is the problem?
Well, I am. I'm over at Ustream as we speak. But I have not done the Kelsey one yet. And I have every intention in doing so. In fact, hopefully by the next time we air, I will be up and rolling.
Yeah, you can just have it. And that way we can have two of them on there whenever we're broadcasting.
There you go, yeah. Man. There you go. And then they can see my ugly mug.
Yeah, it'll be, I mean, that is just, that is great, Todd. And I shot you a message in there to shoot me an email about getting Kelsey and Camille on the show, to talk about, psychics, the mediumship, everything. So, hopefully he would be open for something like that. We can get him on.
Oh, yeah, he's totally open to that. It's a subject, they're exploring. I mean, you have to understand the social medium as far as, not medium, but what I'm talking about is social networking, the idea of having social network. It's all new stuff. So, I mean, they're just now getting, speaking of Kelsey, in regards to Kelsey, he's just now getting engaged. In the last 4 weeks, he's gone from, a Twitter novice to a Twitter pro. And
he is. I see him all the time on there. He answers all. He doesn't miss a beat. He doesn't miss a beat.
He wants to connect to all his people. I mean, as you can imagine, this is a guy that's been on television for 22 years.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Never got a chance to connect with people in a way that he's doing right now. That's what's really crazy about this, is that he loves the interaction with the people, and he loves people. He just didn't know how to connect, and that's what he's excited about.
It's something that, you just don't see that. He connects to each and every one of them. He's got thousands of followers on there, and he still talks to you just like you're his next-door neighbor.
Well, that's exactly the kind of guy. He's the most down-to-earth guy in Hollywood, I'm telling you. I know. I work
with really him
on a daily basis.
He really and truly is.
Yeah, and he really enjoys your show. He appreciates it. That's the whole purpose of him even getting on there. I mean, We only got him to call in the first time. Everything else is on his own now.
That is great. He did. He called in, and I mean, the $100,000 he raised—that's just fantastic. That's just
in a week.
In a week,
and that all came from the Kelsey Live members, and that's where it came from. Like that's where that all came from. It's incredible. Not only that, I don't know if he talked to you about it, but I mean. But he had another executive from ConocoPhillips. He heard about it through the Kelsey Live. He donated his plane to take stuff to Haiti. It's like a whole lot of other things that happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's people helping people at the end of the day. And that's what it's all about.
It is. It's so great to see that. It really, really is.
Absolutely.
It's crazy stuff.
It is crazy, but I promise I will have the cam up and running so you can see both me and Todd and all of our bald greatness.
Great. Let's go.
We'll make it happen.
Now, your other co-host here, what area is he in?
Oh, I'm from Minnesota. I am all the way in the frozen white north. I'm loving it, though.
Yep. Joel is...
Minnesota.
Joel's in Minnesota.
That's right, don't
yes,
you know.
He is. He's an Eskimo.
Yes.
Good.
Damn near Canadian.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, guys are doing a great job. I just wanted to chime in and let you know that we're all behind you, and you'll see us pushing more and helping you more as we start rolling here.
That means a ton to us. That means a ton to us, Todd. Thank you so much for all the support you've already given us.
And don't forget that show on the 17th. Don't forget, we're doing a live comedy show with Bill Zucker, and of course that all happened from Twitter, right? You guys know that, right?
Yeah, that's what I read. That's what I heard. All
Bill Zucker starts tweeting Kelsey. Kelsey starts laughing at his videos.
Yes.
He tells me, "Hey, Todd, go get him." I said, "All right." So I called him up, and then all of a sudden, one thing led to another. I've been in production meetings since Friday, getting everything ready.
There you go.
All done with Twitter. With 140 characters, Joel.
Oh, man, it truly is a small world.
It can happen to you. It can happen to anybody. You see, Kelsey wants to connect. If we create this beautiful forum and this nice environment and keep it true to its form, there's going to be phenomenal connections here, including your show. You'll watch what will happen to your show. You'll start seeing support for your show. We that ugly word is money. You know, I know everyone needs it, and we've got to try to keep things going. So we understand. So any way that Kelsey can be of assistance, we want to promote that and really start to create opportunities for people that are part of this network. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Kelsey doesn't need anything. He's not of need of anything except the one biggest thing, the need to connect with his fellow man. So that's the beautiful opportunity where we all can participate with him.
And you guys are such a great network over there. When I signed up, I was sweet note, Liz, she sent me over there, and when I signed up, I was just the welcome mat just rolled out. I felt like
those are all volunteers. You know that, right? Those are people that want to do that. You know,
fantastic people.
These are not part of our organization or anything. These are people that say, "Look, I love the concept." I just want to be involved. So, I mean, these are all good people, good-hearted people that want to see good things happen. And, you know, that's the thing that we keep on this show. I mean, we don't mind, we're not here to G-rate anyone but we say this. We don't want anyone personally attacking people. Mm-hmm. We don't want people being uncivil to people. You can disagree. You don't have to be friends. But we want to keep a place that everyone feels like, look, this feels like home. I feel comfortable here. These are a great group of people. So we're really trying to reinvent the internet as we know it now.
Well, you did.
You still have your freedoms. You still can do what you want. However, you have to do it in a civil manner.
Yep,
it's
exactly.
The next generation of cheers. Is what it is.
There you go, where everyone knows your name.
Can I be Norm?
It was great. Thank you so much for calling in, Todd. That was just awesome.
Not a problem. You guys enjoy. You're doing a great job.
Thanks a ton, man. Thanks a ton.
So much. What a great surprise. You take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow.
Whoa.
Now that was a surprise, Joel.
That is cool. That was a lot of fun. I want to thank him again for calling in.
Todd is awesome. The guy is a whiz. He really is. He's a great, great, great guy. Did a lot of that that network over there. And it is. It's like a giant family. It is. I compare it to Cheers, Joel. I mean,
Yeah, I definitely got to get more involved over there. I've been remiss. I've been a little bit busy, I've sidetracked, but most definitely.
Yeah, you got to keep up. You know, I feel like every time I log on in the background, you hear, Norm!
Oh man! Well, it's been a great show, man.
It's been an awesome Tuesday, and then it ended, and it's ending with an awesome show. Wow!
Yeah,
what a great day! What a productive day! And we got this giveaway here now. How do you want to do this, Joel? You want to take a breather and then give it away,
You know what? We could go ahead and take a breather. You know, take a little bit of a breather, hang out a little bit, maybe even, maybe replay one of the breaks, because someone's been asking me to replay the first song, the second song that we had tonight by the independent bands. The people are really starting to demand these bands, Todd.
Cool.
They're really liking it. They're really rocking out to them, and they would like to hear the break again with the rock band that this one happens to be, well, Zombie Ghost Train, that has done a lot of stuff for us.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet.
So we're going to go ahead and roll this break one more time for you guys. I know it's repetitive, but this, by popular demand, they want the song. So it's a 6-minute break, so everyone will be able to stretch your legs, come back to your computer or wherever you're listening, and get ready to win something. How's that sound?
It sounds great. And Todd, I'm a man of my word. No more muting the mic at Kelsey Live. You guys are going to hear all behind the scenes, everything. You're going to hear the league bowlers over there crashing. You're going to hear all of it. I'm not muting the mic. Mics are live all the time there now.
Well, here we go, man. Here we go. We're going to go to break. We'll come back, and let's give some stuff away.
Sounds like a plan.
Get the tools you need to create content for every design discipline in one offering, the Adobe Creative Suite 3 Master Collection. And when it comes to audio, Adobe Audition Software is the all-in-one toolset for professional audio production. Thinking multimedia? Think Adobe.com.
Joys and tears, just stay right there. No, you ain't scared. Say you like what you hear. Where did you come from? I know it can't be here. 'Cause I've been laying my head down in this town for all. I sleep, I dream of all my enemies and fears. Get up on my way every day, and I can't believe this. Yeah.
Internet radio legal, affordable, and independent with LoudCity.com. Discover great music with over 500 channels to choose from, or become a DJ and stream your own music. For more information, visit LoudCity.com today.
You're listening to your home of stimulating talk radio. Airstrike Radio. And Airstrike Radio coming right back at you. But if you really want to hear what goes on during the breaks, you got to go to Kelsey Live. That is where the mics are never dead. Right, Todd? That's where we're live the whole time.
I gave Todd my word on that, Joel. Never going to mute him over there again. Here behind the scenes, all the good stuff. That's where you got to go. It's free to sign up.
You're going to hear us at our rawest. Sometimes it gets a little raw during those breaks.
Yeah. Well, you get to learn a lot of behind the scenes. A lot of people don't get to hear that on talk radio shows. They don't get to hear it.
Nah, they don't get to, hear us talking about, chili rings. we won't go there anymore. We promised we wouldn't in public, so we're not gonna go there. We're bound by law. We can't do that anymore. So, but I had to throw that out there.
Well, I couldn't have said that better myself.
Jeez. But for all you people that are not at Kelsey Live, you'll never know.
No, you'll never know.
You'll never know. But it's a proverbial tree falling in the woods.
I can't promote it enough. I can't. Kelsey Live is a great, great, great network of people. They're all friendly. It's free to sign up. You can watch the webcast there. It's great. It is just absolutely fantastic.
Yep, I've been having my you-know-what's busted a little bit for not having a webcam, by the way, over there, Kelsey.
Yes.
So I got to fix that. Now, is there a way that you and I can appear side by side?
I don't know. We'll have to talk to Todd about that. He may be able to do that.
Okay.
I'm putting us on the same one there where we're kind of side by side there, same chat room. I'm sure he could fix something up. I'm sure they could. Their tech guys are pretty brilliant over there. I'm sure they could whip something.
That would be the ultimate right there.
Yes, it would.
That way we don't have to split the audience.
And all these record as well. I mean, I've got 6 recordings down there.
Oh, cool.
They all record, and you play them back just like a video archive. As the whole thing, it's awesome, Joel.
It is awesome over there, but we also have an awesome giveaway.
Yeah, I guess we could get rid of it.
I suppose it's time to part with it.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do, man? It's up to you. How do you want to give this away?
Well, I'm thinking.
Should we make it airstrike related?
Throw either something airstrike related or something Cheers related.
Okay, here's something Cheers related or airstrike. I was thinking, let's go with the airstrike one first, and then if that one's deemed too hard, we'll go to the Cheers one.
Todd, how about we just do both?
Okay.
Do 2 giveaways.
Okay, well, when we had John Kachuba on the show, Todd was under the weather; he was unable to make it. Who sat in the co-hosting chair for that show?
That'll jog some memories.
That one will make it really tough, because that'll be tough to Google that one. You're going to almost have to go to where the podcasts are.
That might get tough.
Yeah, that's a tough one, most definitely.
I don't know if they can grab that or not.
I don't know. It was during the John Kachuba show. John Kachuba is the awesome author of Ghost Hunter. Good book.
And also, those numbers, that kind of be a bonus.
Yeah, that would be a bonus.
Yeah, they're in the chat room there. Toll free, 877-216-2987. That's 877-216-2987. Outside the United States, or if you have one of those awesome free long-distance plans, you can call us direct, 618-421-4280. And Steffi's doing a great job posting those in the chat room. And I got to give Steffi kudos here, Joel. She is running both chat rooms.
Wow.
She is a workhorse.
And I would be remiss if I did not throw this out there. Jamie Hayes, thank you so much for being our producer week in and week out. getting us these great guests, working her straight up. She's working her butt off for us, Todd. And I want to make sure to throw that in there. And also Christina is working right along with her. And those two make quite a force to be reckoned with between their PR abilities and their getting the guests' abilities. I can't thank those two girls enough.
Kudos. Amen to that. And I think you got them stumped, Joel.
We might.
Okay. While they're thinking on that. We got one coming. Let's see here. Let it flop on transfer here. And welcome to Airstrike live on the air. Do you got an answer to the trivia question?
Yeah, nobody.
That was wrong. We did have a co-host.
Really?
Yep.
I don't remember hearing them.
You don't remember hearing them? Wow.
And you get a consolation prize of a year's supply of turtle wax.
Wow.
I don't need that. Todd, save that for your head.
All wax, you buff.
There you go.
Sun wakes up.
Good job.
Yes, there was a...
All right,
thanks a lot.
there was no goal.
Your head. Okay. While they're thinking on yours.
Yeah.
Now what we're gonna do, let me reach into the...
Well, should I give them a hint to where to go to find the answer?
Give them a hint, yeah.
Go to Planet, go to either Podomatic, the Podomatic page, or go to Planet Paranormal, our show page. That a full description of the show, including who was that co-host, is listed there. And the question again is, the week that we had John Kachuba on the show with us, who was the special guest co-host while Todd was under the weather?
Okay.
I hear lots of wheels are turning out there.
Yeah, a lot of them. I'm getting the second prize ready here for the cheers question. See, we're doing what we're doing now. It's going to take a little while to get this shipped to you due to our financial situation. But I do have some up there ready to go. Once we get our finances up there, we will. No sound.
What do you mean, no sound?
Steffi just popped up, no sound. Let me see what's going on here. Well. Yeah, okay, they hear us. Yeah. Okay, it says we're fine. And they hear us on Airstrike, too. Yeah, it's okay. I don't. Must be your PC or something there.
It's all good.
I'm getting a second prize ready. So Joel threw him a hint out there.
I did. Just go to planetparanormal.com. Go ahead, click on the Airstrike show name. Our name's right there, the very first show listed on the marquee. And find the date, and it's there, of who co-hosted the John Kachuba show. He was the guest while Todd was absent.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to Airstrike, live on the air. You got an answer to the trivia question.
Yeah, I guess it was somebody after all.
Who's the somebody?
Eric Altman.
That's right. Eric Altman from Beyond the Edge Radio was a special guest co-host that night. You win!
Awesome.
Absolutely.
You get an autographed poster... Parlor Muse poster, courtesy of Gavin Goska, parlormuse.com. And you get a copy of the Midnight Syndicate's The 13th Hour. And a copy of Gavin Goska's Parlor Muse coming at you. All courtesy of MidnightSyndicate.com and parlormuse.com, deadmatter.com, all that good stuff.
Sounds like a winner.
Sounds like a winner to you?
Wiener,
chicken dinner. Sounds like a wiener.
Wiener. All you got to do is just ship me your mailing address to contest@hbrnc.com. Contest@hbrnc.com. And we'll get that out to you ASP.
Sure thing, Doc. You guys have a lot of fun. I love the show tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Take care, man.
Congratulations. Awesome.
That was cool. That was cool. Yeah, made cool. Him dig.
Yeah, you did some research there.
I guess there was somebody. I don't know who should be offended, Eric Altman or...
I don't know. I don't know. I guess there was... That cracked me up.
Does that mean I talk entirely way too much?
Okay, I guess this one was there. Okay, now we got the second giveaway here, folks. I'm a Cheers fan. I love the show. You can ask my wife. She, geez, I watched it whenever my youngest daughter Munchkin was born. I sat in there in her bed while she was wanting me to comfort her and hold her in her hours of pain. Mm. I was watching Cheers while she was in labor.
Yeah, but you said screw that. Norm is on, Kelsey's on, all the great people are on. So you know what? Have the baby. I'm watching the marathon.
Exactly. And what I used was, look, I'm just watching the show to try to find names for our daughter. So we got a Cheers question.
Wait. There wasn't too many females on the show, though. I mean, your names are kind of limited.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until they were all over.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But you know, I mean, yes, I was going to name my daughter Kirsten Norma.
Norma.
Norma. Yeah, it's oh jeez. But this is a Cheers question. Now, the first person to call in with the correct answer, this is simple, Joel. First person to call in with the correct answer wins an autographed Gavin Gosica poster and a Virgil Music Spatial Estates album, instrumental music, virgilmusic.net, awesome stuff, and a copy of Midnight Syndicate's The Rage. That's a soundtrack from the movie The Rage. Oh, that's up for grabs here for you. And all you have to do is answer this one question. The first person to call, 877-216-2987. The numbers listed there in the chat rooms. They're also on the main page, all over the place. What was Norm's wife's name?
Oh, that could be a tough one.
Mm-hmm. What was Norm's wife's name? You never see her. I knew it. There's a Cheers fan. And welcome to Airstrike Radio. You're live on the air. Do you have an answer to the question?
I believe, just researching and making sure I've got it right.
Norm's wife's name.
I cannot believe that this is not finding it for me.
Uh-oh, you're Wikipedia, aren't you?
Yeah, he's on Google. she was always calling him at the bar.
Why am I thinking of Vera?
Vera?
Yeah.
You are correct. Yes, yep. His wife's name was Vera.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
Good win. Way to go, man.
Where are you calling from?
Actually, this is Russell, pre-Braden.
Oh, hey.
Wow. Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Better now that you won, right?
What's that?
Hey, you're feeling better now that you won something.
There you go.
Yeah, we got you an autographed poster. We got you some music set up from our sponsors here.
Sweet.
All you got to do is ship me your mailing address to contest@hbrnc.com. If you're over there at Kelsey Live, she'll put it. Steffi's throwing that in the chat room there for everybody. And then it's shipped out to you ASAP.
All right. Just want to go ahead and let everyone know, since they're, I know everyone's listening, thanks to some great people on Kelsey Live, PrayForAiden.com is actually getting complete redesign. Right now it's been a blogger site, and we're actually putting it on its own hosting space. Probably be going live by the end of the week.
Wow.
Well, good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was thrilled to hear that somebody was willing to help us out, and the guy set us up with the hosting space and ungodly amounts of bandwidth, and we're I'm in the process of updating the site right now.
Wow, it doesn't get any better than that. That is great. That is great. And yeah. What's that domain again? Get that out there one more time.
PrayForAiden.com. That's PrayForAiden.com.
Fantastic. That is great. And yeah, I mean, anytime you want to, whenever you get that going, be sure and call in and, you know, let us know that you got that up and running.
Maybe absolutely.
We'll exchange banners or something. We'll do a banner exchange or a link exchange.
Okay. That sounds great.
Good deal. Well, congratulations to you big time. You're going to love the music.
I'm a huge music fan. I like all different kinds, so I'm looking forward to hearing it.
This is nice, instrumental. It's kind of in the horror genre, but it's not what you think. It's kind of stuff that's placed on, you know, scary movies, that kind of stuff. It's really, really good. Good music. Good music.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Congratulations.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Hey, congrats, man. Congrats.
Sweet, Joel.
Wow, man. We are, gosh, a darn near 3-hour show tonight. It's been rocking the whole time.
Yeah, it has. It has. And he got it, too, Vera. You know, I
can't believe it. Jamie there fed me the answer right away, so I didn't look like a total idiot.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew.
Yeah, I saw Jamie throw that up.
You know, she kind of fed me the answer saying, yeah, it's Vera. It's Vera. You know, yeah. There you go. You know,
those two always cracked me up. They really did. Oh, Vera. Oh. You know, he's just sitting there scaling at her. Norm just had a bad rap.
He did. He absolutely did. Poor Norm.
You got poor, you know, you got Lilith.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah, Lilith.
Poor wow. Frazier.
Yeah, poor Frazier, man. He couldn't win. He couldn't win with that one.
Oh, but no, it was an awesome show, Joel. I mean, it's great to be back on here. I mean, I really missed it. Missed doing radio with you.
I missed you, my friend. It wasn't the same. It was like peanut butter without its jelly. You know, I mean, it wasn't the same. It just didn't feel the same. The energy wasn't the same. And I can't bust on the co-hosts because, I mean, they both kind of valiantly came in. You know, short notice, came in, did the best they could. I want to thank Eric Altman as well as Brian Leffler for doing that for us. But hopefully, guys, no offense, we don't see too much of you.
Yeah, the health's in good condition. I got a clean bill right now, and it's going to take a lot. It's going to take, I mean, I walked around with that pain for 2 weeks before I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, I'm glad you did too, man. You need to get in. You need to get taken care of. Most definitely, and I'm glad that you're feeling much better. Make sure to tune in on Friday. All those of you that won't be around for any of the other radio shows, got to make sure to tune in on Friday, where I'll be in a Hana location doing a remote, the whole nine yards. See if we can't get a real-time EVP right over the telephone. Wouldn't that be kick-ass?
Yeah, I mean, we got Annette Martin on as the guest to start off with. Psychic detective Annette Martin from True TV's psychic detective there, and then after, in between there, you know, Joel's going to call remote from the investigation. He's gonna, you know, just like he said, live EVP session. He's going to report on what's going on. This place just sounds really, really malevolent, really
it's off the hook.
And hopefully, we can hear some of this stuff, you know, on the air. So you definitely want to tune in Friday. It all starts at 8 Central, 9 Eastern. Now tomorrow for Plan B, that's going to be an encore archive. Okay. We're going to roll Ruby Moon Holson's archive. I got to set up the event, and that's going to kick off at 8 o'clock on the nose. It's a pre-recorded program. And then Thursday on Airstrike. Who we got Thursday on Airstrike, Joe?
We got Sean O'Rourke is coming on. He is in the feature film Butchered. He's also managing one of the managing partners of 11 Bravo Productions, and they make shows such as Port City PD, which is a big hit out there. It's going to be a lot of fun having him on, just kind of talking movies and TV and all that kind of good stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's
going to be a good time. At the weekend, folks, and then Monday, we got a special guest on the Monday Meltdown. Guess who's coming back, Joel?
Who's that?
Alexandra Holzer.
Is she really?
Oh. It's my Christmas present to Phil because Phil loved Hans.
I'm jealous now. I'm jealous. Again? You're getting that swimsuit model of a woman on there?
Yes. Oh, her and I talk on Twitter, too. Yeah, you got to do the Twitter thing, man.
I got to do the Twitter thing, man. I have just been doing the Facebook thing. I got to get more out there. That's obvious.
Got to catch up with it. There's just all kinds of great guests coming up. It's going to be an awesome year for guests. Jesus, tons of them. The year's already started off with a bang. I can't believe the. We've only been broadcasting there at Kelsey Live for a week, and look at it already.
It's going great. I can't thank everybody that's pitched in and helped out. Has really helped out a ton. Thanks a ton, everybody. And oh, by the way, I talked to Gavin and Ed from Midnight Syndicate the other day. Mm-hmm. They did not know that we're working together, and their response was like we're a peanut butter cup. two of their favorite broadcasters. Yeah, two of their favorite broadcasters broadcasting together.
That's great.
They're
really, them both for that Midnight Syndicate weekend coming up in March, Joel.
Yeah, they're all jacked to get on the air with us because they had a ton of fun with both of us individually.
That's awesome.
They can't imagine what it's going to be like to have both of us on one program.
Oh, yeah. Those are huge. You know, you guys, those of you that haven't experienced the Midnight Syndicate weekend, those are huge. Mm. We're talking giveaways all over the place, interviews. And I used to stay up 72 hours straight and do those marathons.
We'll have to shift it off now. We'll have to shift it, you and I. Yeah. We'll have to run that in shifts. But stay tuned. Yep, definitely. Stay tuned for further details and all this great stuff coming up. But until then, man, I say we put this one to bed.
Let's put it to bed.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. And Ingrid P. Dean, thank you so much for having all the awesome police officers call in, making the show what it is tonight. On that note, though, let's get out of here.
Controlling transmission. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound. You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Sit quietly and we will control all that in here. You are about to participate in a great adventure.